Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Yeah, and the countdown begins. I've decided to move the show to Rumble. Talked to all my reporters. They're all in favor. At least I don't know anybody that's objected. I don't think it matters anyway. I'm going anyway. We're just going to go to Rumble. We're going to go visual. So enough of this audio stuff. It's time. We're in a visual world, and the numbers are not where I want them to be in the audio portion of Action Radio. And so we're making a big change here, and it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fun. It's going to be wild. I can't tell you. I mean, I literally can't tell you the comments that are going on. We have an Action Radio group chat where we talk about everything that we don't talk about on the show. And it's pretty funny. But anyway, it's been some interesting reaction to that. All right, let's get to Bonnie. I'll see what she thinks of this and everything else. And Bonnie, you actually have 2 hours if you want, because Bianca canceled the second hour. So if you want to hang around, feel free. Let's get to the B word.
Who is that woman behind the microphone? What stories does she have for us? Secluded in a small radio studio in a secure location, Bonnie Nesbitt presents the news of the week and then presents not the news of the week. So join us now for The B Word with Bonnie Nesbitt.
Yeah, Marco's there in the Netherlands checking with a big thumbs up. He thinks Rumble's a good idea. So there we go. So we've got Netherlands approval. We've got international approval as well. Hey, Bonnie.
Hey, hey.
So what do you think? We're going to be visual. You're going to have to, like, change clothes and things every week.
I know. Actually, my gut reaction when you first said that was like, oh, no, I can't do this in my yoga pants anymore. But then I got to thinking, I'm like, you know what? Screw that.
No, I totally can't. Yeah. In fact, you can be doing yoga while you do the show for all I care. And this is fascinating. This is because, you know me, I mean, one of the prime directive is like Star Trek. The prime directive is that nothing changes. You know, we don't change people.
Right.
You know, I don't, you know, if we get famous, I don't go to a superstar PR, you know, approved guest. I don't do any of that crap. If you're on the show, you're on the show. I don't care if, you know, where we are in life. That's not the point of the show. It never has been. You know, you can't have a show dedicated to teaching regular people how to write legislation and have nothing but national known public figures, snooty, you know, aristocratic, arrogant, you know, those folks. I don't want them.
Yeah.
You know, now they're going to want,
right,
they're going to
want
to be on the show. That's the funny part. They're going to want to be on the show. When we get really big, I mean, really big. I'm talking millions of people because nobody does what we do in the world today. And they're not likely to either, they're going to be applying to me. And they'll be like, hey, remember me? I'm the guy that wanted to get on your show, you know, a couple of years ago when you didn't care who I was. Yeah. I got a really good memory. really good memory.
Yeah. Well, that's when they come to you and you just give them the cat filter. That's when you put the cat filter on them. For sure.
Oh, no, what is this cat filter? I want to say how this came about because I don't want to betray any confidences here. But what exactly is a cat filter? I mean, I think I know, but I want to kind of get this clear.
I know it's essentially a filter that you just put over your face, and it turns your human face into it literally looks like a cat, like a talking cat. The mouth moves as if you're talking because it, somehow the computer has it programmed to make it look like facial gestures within the cat face. But the lawyer who did this went viral on YouTube, and it's hysterical because they're talking about serious things, and all you see is this talking
and
cat,
it's a cat
mouth.
Face. What, is it like a murder trial?
Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest. Is it a disgusting murder trial and there's a cat face?
No,
laughing or
I don't.
No, okay.
No. It's basically a Zoom call and everybody else is normal. So you see them from the torso up, but you have like a split screen. You know how Zoom does like the boxes, like the Brady Bunch boxes.
Well, that's how it's going to be for us, for Rumble. Rumble's going to be the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But one of the boxes has a talking cat in it if you have that filter on. So, I mean, essentially you could have a wild disco ball in the background if you wanted to. You could have all kinds of like, you know, confetti throwing down. You could do anything you want.
Well, see, now this is where my creative side would come out. And speaking of having a filter or not having a filter, I don't have a filter, as you know, as anybody knows who knows me and knows this show. So if like PETA you know, the people for the ethical treatment, yes, of animals, as so-called, is having like a big rally or something like that, or some kind of event, the whole show is going to be in, mm-hmm, cat face or something. We're going to pick animals. We're going,
right,
to do the whole show. So that's something I would do. Have everybody appear as a different animal. You know, I'll put, you know, with my verbal talent, shall we say, I'd probably be like a macaw or something like that. I want to be a hyacinth macaw. You know, the big purple ones with a big black beak. That'd,
yes,
be me.
Yes.
So I'd be a talking macaw,
yeah,
face.
Well,
Tara D would be Yorkie. You know, Tara does the animal shelter report. I might talk to her about actually doing the report, you know, in cat and dog faces one day just for the fun of it. But yeah.
That would be funny. You could call it Old Pinglis's farm.
Exactly. We'll have farm music in the background. We should talk about farm access. Damn, the grass is up today. It's going to be kind of cool out there. So we're going to get the tractor out early because, you know, it's going to be a little tough today. So we'll get back, get our moonshine, sit back, kick back, and play some, we'll play Sweet Home Alabama for the 15,000th time and sing it again. I hope I remember the words this time. Anyway.
Grab your pitchfork and chip on in. We got lots of manure to shovel. Come on.
Damn,
come on,
exactly,
out.
Yeah. So you and I could do the farm report.
That's right. We did the farm report.
But I want to get a farm report. No, I'm serious. But people don't realize this, that there's a lot. This sounds arrogant, but I am kind of animated behind the microphone. What you don't see is hysterical sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot,
yeah,
going on. I'm not going to be one of these. In fact, I don't even need a microphone. And this is the beauty of it, too. All the Zoom calls I've done of late, in fact, one time I just forgot to plug it in. But I did a Zoom call with just the microphone and camera for my iMac, and it was fine. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to do that. So I might get, mm-hmm, up, walk around. I might talk to you from the back of the computer. I might go to the kitchen and make something and then come back with, like, a smoothie. I mean, I don't know. You know, you got to understand this. I don't care. All right. I might have a friend of mine gave me a couple of stuffed animals just sitting on my guitar amplifier. I might have one on the desk one day. You don't know.
Yeah.
I just have psychic.
Yeah.
You know, I have a stack of beer cans. Even,
exactly,
though I don't drink beer, I'll find them. You know, just because. You know, and I'll just do things just to see who's watching. You know, I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I mean, I love radio. I love the audio. I love the idea of people listening and having these voices go right into their brain. But the problem is, we're in such a video world that people aren't listening. They're not tuning,
mm-hmm,
in their cars.
That's,
you know, they're not sitting on the computer. Mm-hmm. You know, even though we give show notes and we break it down, say, look, you don't have to listen to the whole show. You know, just when I'm talking or whatever. Anyway, you know, but
right,
you know what I mean, right?
Right.
It's 3 hours. I can't listen to a 3-hour show. Well, I don't listen to a 3-hour show either. I do one. I don't listen to it. I don't, mm-hmm, have 3 hours to listen to my own show. No, I just take, you know, bits and,
right,
pieces because I probably have a timeline. That's what, you know. But what I'm curious about is how much is going to transfer over. Now, CJ, who does our wellness report, is going to walk me through it later on today. So I'm going to get the whole, I'm going to have a procedure to write down. I'm going to know how to do this. It's going to save us a ton of time, and we'll be able to go right to Rumble probably in December. The only thing I have from Blog Talk, and they haven't gotten back to me, which is a common theme with Blog Talk, is I got to find out how to preserve all 5 years worth of shows. That's critical. I don't know if I have,
right,
to download them to a hard drive or to have to download them individually, in which case I'll be busy for a couple of weeks. Just download the shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, but I'll talk,
yeah,
to them and see if their computer geniuses can do that. I mean, they're my shows. I paid for them. I did them. So, I mean, there's no reason not to.
Exactly.
I don't think they keep them all after a certain time. And that's what I'm going to make sure that, you know, that I'll keep my membership until I have all the shows. So that's a critical thing. Anyway, what do you think? Recommendations, ideas, suggestions, comments? Rumble's going to be fun. Yoga
I
pants.
Think it should be
interesting. I want to see you in yoga, yeah, pants. I mean, this is going to be great. You'd be like totally hot. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not going to be instructing everybody on how to do yoga. So, no, typically I am definitely fresh out of the mom role. So, do a show on my head. Okay, I can go into, crow pose. I'll go into crow pose where I'm, like, balancing my elbows on my knees in, like, 30-second stances. Yeah.
That'd be great. That'd be
fascinating. Because everybody wants to see me upside down.
Well, you do, just because it's different.
Yeah,
and this is how Bonnie
different.
Thinks best. So, in other words, you're in your right mind,
yeah,
when you're upside down. Yes, that's when she thinks best. The other thing with Bonnie is inverted, so we
all
invert
the
Bonnie, and therefore
rushes to my head.
Well, don't you think the blood rushes,
yeah,
to your head? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matching her pink yoga pants.
Okay.
That's
right. Well, hopefully it will be one of those resolutions because I know you've had lots of issues with Blog Talk Radio, so. Hopefully, we will not have the same technical issues with Rumble that we have run into in the past with Blog Talk. So that should be a godsend of a sort.
I don't think so because we're going to go with this company called StreamYard. That's what CJ uses, and I've been on her show a couple times. It's worked fine. So if there's any problems, I'm sure there are other ones out there. But as far as I know, that's, you know, I have a good place to start from, you know, that works, that I know works. And even if there are better services, we can always switch later. But again, if it works, I tend to be of the if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. And I don't know if we stayed with Blog Talk too long, but the good parts are that I have gotten, you know, I do have a worldwide map. You know, I am able to broadcast anywhere. Someone like Marco in the Netherlands can just type onto live chat, you know, and so and we have a live Skype line coming into the show. It's going to be a little different in terms of we don't have the ability of everybody just – well, there will be live chat. But if someone wants to actually, you know, call into the show or appear on the show, we're going to have to arrange pretty much everybody as guests. But I don't get a lot of spontaneous calls because most people are listening to the podcast. So I think that's gonna work out fine. Yeah. But everybody – you'll have a little box.
Yeah.
You know, and we have a bunch of us. We'll have a bunch of little boxes, you know, so yeah. I don't know. It's going to be fun.
Yes, it should be fun. I'm anxious to see everybody. I mean, I've seen their profile pictures on our group chat and all of that, but it's going to be interesting just to finally see the faces. I know you get to see everybody in person when you do the January event down in Florida, and then I wish I could be there, but I know I'm not going to be able to. But aside from
I don't know how many reporters are coming.
Earlier than that on Rumble.
We might only get half our reporters. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It depends how many can come there. That's why I'm making sure. In fact, Larry Downs Jr., who's doing our social media, I'm going to be doing a big video with him this afternoon. Hopefully to raise some money, too. But we'll be talking about – we'll either actually write a bill or we'll go through the motion, you know, the whole process of how to write a bill. And he's got a ton of people that watch his videos around here. I mean, thousands and thousands of local people, which is great. So that's going to help out. So Larry's doing that. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, while you're talking to your social media guru and your specialist on Rumble, if you're at all thinking about animals, I kind of think you should go with an eagle. I mean, if you're going to be running something for freedom, you need to represent the country. So rather than a macaw, I think you should probably go for an eagle.
I should be talking eagle? Hmm.
Well, yeah.
Maybe it should be a harpy based
our
on my
national
my
symbol.
Yeah, I know, but everybody uses eagles. Everybody uses eagles.
No,
Rome used eagles.
For talking animal filters? No, I've never seen a talking eagle. I have to say that.
Oh, well, do you make them, or how do you do this? Or does someone have to make them?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. You can probably find out how to make them through the filters that are going to be available on your phone. It's probably an iPhone thing. You can probably search, find an app for a talking eagle filter instead of a cat filter, and you could be the newest patriotic symbol of
except I won't be doing this. I'll be doing this directly into my computer. I won't be doing this on.
That's true.
In fact, I get to hang up the headset and microphone. In fact, my headset the left ear broke. It's kind of funny. Something usually breaks when I'm about to make a change. That's how I know it's time to make a change. So I dropped my headset for the first time in 5 years. Right, you know, when I was making guitar videos, and the left side is out. Mm-hmm. So I'm in my right mind as it were. That's where the sound's coming in. I wonder if that makes a difference in thought, if you only hear it from one side. Huh. We'll find out. Anyway, point being that, you know, generally when something breaks, it's like, okay, that's like God's signal to me. I'm going to break something for you, Greg. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the headset breaks. That means it's time to go to Rumble and not use a headset or a microphone.
Right. Right.
I might have a microphone just standing there, it's like a symbolic thing because I got to do something with it now. I don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll look more efficient. Maybe people think I'm actually talking on it when I'm not. I just won't even plug it in. I'll just let it sit there, see who notices. Hey, the red light's on your microphone.
Not until the cobwebs form.
What's that now?
I said not until the cobwebs form will they realize that it's not on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the dust filter isn't getting dustier. You know, it looks pretty good still. Mm-hmm. Are you using that? No, I just let it sit there on the camera. It's a prop. But speaking of which, we have now the only thing I don't know yet, and I'll find out, audio clips, like your theme. Everybody has a theme now. I spent a lot of work making those themes. I want to use those again. But then what do I put? Do I just sit there and twiddle my thumbs while it's playing? Or, do I do an action radio? You know, I don't know. And I got commercials, too.
You have to do it like a cut. Yeah, no, that's what you'll have to do is like a little, maybe an animated 15-second thing that goes with it, like little cartoon characters. Like for mine, the sound is very spy-ish, you know. Dun, 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 dun. So you need to have like little cartoon characters firing guns at each other or something, running around and hiding like spy versus spy.
Now you're getting complicated. Now you're making my life, you know. You're giving me challenges.
Yep.
I got enough challenges.
I'm giving you challenges.
I'm busy.
No, you need more. If you're right. not growing, you're dying. So you need that.
What do you mean if I'm not growing? We make history literally every day on the air. What do you mean we're not growing? Yes. I mean, everything we do is, you know, is growing.
But you have to push yourself. You have to push yourself to learn on all things. I'm constantly learning new things within my field of work that I've been at in over 20 years. I'm learning new bookkeeping things on the daily.
I'm not learning things. I got 14 reporters pushing me every day. I understand. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. although apparently on our chat, you dedicate to making my life much more interesting, but we'll let that go for off the air too. See, people don't realize we're actually kind of a close family here at Action Radio. Even though we're around the country, we've never seen each other. There's a bond. There's definitely an Action Radio bond in common purpose where we can do things you literally cannot do anywhere else. You can't say the things we say. You can't talk about things we talk about. You can't get the legislation out there that we're doing. You can't have the ideas. You know, now let me, I know we have news issues, but it's something that absolutely staggered me. And this is from Monday's show with Dorothy. Dorothy Dana, who does our sex and sensuality report. And she, I say that very calmly. This is really funny. She comes after Jonathan. So Jonathan does the legal report, which is mostly politics. And then Dorothy talks about sex. So I call it Sex and Politics Monday. That might be a great theme. Mm-hmm. I have to make little banners, you know, for the show.
There you go.
And I'll have Sex there and Politics go. Monday. Be like, what are you guys doing? What are we talking about, sex and politics? Like, there's a difference? Yeah, okay, fine. Anyway, but what she said was, exactly. And what she said was, and I didn't know this, apparently there was a NASA study, 2016, 2018, somewhere back there. It's not that long ago, by a guy named Greg Land. I'm wondering if it's like the Land camera, you know, Polaroid, same kind of genius. But what they found is they were testing, they give kids like an IQ, genius test. And they found that 98% of five-year-olds are at the genius level for creativity, imagination, problem solving, things like that. So 98% of five-year-olds are at the genius level. Guess how many are at the genius level by the time they've been through school?
Oh, I would guess probably like 8%, if that.
Yeah, it's about 2. Yeah. So, and we're all here at Action Radio, by the way. All of us who kept our rebellion, you know, kept our brains and kept our creativity. This is why I keep telling people, think like a five-year-old. And I find it fascinating. Because five is the year that you start school, generally. And so at five, your conditioning begins, your socialization, as they say, begins, and your individuality ends. You become part of the factory because schools, and if you want something interesting for your show, I did a 7-part series. Actually, it's one article, but I broke it up into 7 because it's 14,000 words long. A completely new model for education, and it's on my Substack, gregpenglis.substack.com. There's a lot in there. I've completely revolutionized the way we teach. And so, it was interesting exercise in how to do it. And I took all the ancient systems, you know, from the Greek, the Roman, the Egyptian, the Middle Eastern, the Catholic, you know, and then I went up to the one-room schoolhouse, and then I went to the factory model that came about from Prussia in the 1800s, designed to make people obedient servants and able to work in factories doing mindless assembly line jobs. That's what school does. It takes away all your creativity, all your imagination, and makes you subordinate. Mm-hmm. So you subordinate all your humanity so that you can sit on an assembly line and do a boring job. That is the purpose of modern public education, exactly the same as it was back in 1850 at the start of the Industrial Revolution. Well, things have changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to be a little bit more creative, but we're creating idiots. And the problem now is with technology and things like that, I think kids are losing their genius level even sooner. Because when you don't have any restrictions and you don't know what you can't do or you don't know what you can't think, you know, because you don't have any exposure except from your folks and friends and, you know, and things like that. But school hasn't really started yet. Then you're still open. And so people come to me, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do with my life? I said, what did you want to do when you were 5 years old? I said, that's what you should do. Oh, well, you know, because that's before your conditioning. So it's your original self. So I divide everybody into our original selves and our conditioned selves. Uh-huh. So your conditioned self is what happens after you turn 5.
As for my kids, you know, we homeschool my 2 kids. So I've got 6 and 8. But if I go back to when they were 5, that means that my daughter is like steadfastly, she has not changed her mind. She wants to be a deep sea diver who tags turtles. That's what she's said for the last year, and she will not change her mind. She wants to tag turtles.
Why would you want to change her mind?
My 8-year-old, no, I don't. I'm just saying it's an interesting career for her to pick. And my 8-year-old,
it was very specific.
Who for the last couple of years, it's very specific. That's what makes it so interesting to me. It's like, it is the most specific thing I've ever heard a 5-year-old say, is that that's what they want to do. And she's even said by the time she specifically said it like 28 years old. When I'm 28 years old, Mom, I'm going to go deep sea diving and tag turtles. And I'm like, okay, well, you do you, boo-boo. And my son, for the past couple of years, has not changed his mind as well, but he's divided. He's very much divided. He either wants to be a private detective or he wants to be a gemologist. He's very much into gems, digging pyrite, gold, and diamonds,
you know,
and anything else that he can find.
He could do both.
He could be a private investigator of false gems.
No, jewel thieves. He could go after jewel thieves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he could. He definitely could.
Yeah.
So I'm not challenging either one of them. I'm all for, you know, encouraging them. So, you know, as for my daughter, it's like we're all about informing her about the sea life world, you know, anything that's a sea creature. I've never met a girl like my daughter when it comes to this world. I love her with all my heart because she reminds me so much of me. She is absolutely fearless. And she won't take crap from anybody. But she, at the same time, has a love of animals, unlike typical girls who like dolls and cutesy little things. This girl, she likes bugs. She basically has always been drawn to jellyfish and octopus and any other ugly sea creature that you would typically think of. She's drawn to them like a magnet. And her room is a plethora of every sea creature stuff. She's 6 right now. Yeah.
You want to put her on the show sometime?
She loves unicorns.
Talk to her.
Oh, I definitely could. I definitely
up
could.
To you.
She's about it
because, you know.
Yeah. My son would be the more apt to talk. He's definitely got an opinion, and he is literally a 30-year-old in an 8-year-old body. He said to me just a couple of weeks ago, in fact, when we were having our, you know, bedtime discussion, he looks me dead in the eye and he goes, "Mom, I decided that I'm not going to get married until I'm 30 because I need time to figure out who I am as an adult." Jaw hit the floor.
How old is he?
8. He's 8.
Yeah, smart kid. Yeah.
Yeah. I said, you are wiser than a lot of adults, little boy. Like, you have no idea how smart you are.
I was far smarter as a child. By the time I got to be an adult, and I was so conditioned, you know, from a narcissistic, abusive family to several different school systems, several different countries, I was a wreck. I was an emotional wreck. Intellectually, I was very intelligent, but I was an emotional wreck. And eventually, you know, and what I wanted to do at 5 years old was be an airline pilot. And I never wavered from that. And it took like seven different times it was taken away from me by parents, by marriage, by the airlines all going broke, by my eyesight declining, you know, so the end of my military career, you know, things I had some control over, but for the most part, things I didn't. And it took from 5 to 4, I spent 40 years trying to get this career. And eventually it caused a massive depression when I realized it just wasn't going to work. And I was going to have to come back again in a different life and do it over. This is why I keep talking about jets. And there's a reason for this, that this is a destiny. Mm-hmm. This is something that my life's not complete until I fly jets really fast upside down, yank the hell out of them, you know, do big loops and rolls in the sky. That's what I've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. That's what I always planned on doing. That's what I wanted to do for a career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I haven't flown an airplane in 30 years, but it doesn't matter because when I hop in, it'll be like yesterday. You know, I've always felt at home in the air. And so I'm being basically denied, you know, my ability to go home because my home is the air. That's where I'm home. And so this, you know, besides being, you know, this is plan B, is radio. I always wanted to do this too. So I've wanted to do radio since high school. I was one of those nerds that actually listened to talk radio, 12 years old. That's unusual. You know, and I was arguing
with the
hosts.
That is unusual.
Yeah, and I was winning. Well, they weren't, you know, but I mean, in my own mind, I was like, here's what you forgot to ask, you know, dipstick.
Yeah.
I didn't swear at 5, 12. So kids have a real knowledge. And I think that one of the biggest things, most important things all of us can do is go back and think like a 5-year-old. And it proved it from this NASA study. Now, I sent you the article, but I found like 6 more. And I'm going to spend probably Tuesday. I want to get Brianna on that because she's a teenager. And so she's kind of like our link, you know, to younger folks, slightly older folks. And so we have all ages. I want to get Tina on the show too again. During standard time, she's in Arizona, and Tina's like mid-70s. And so I want to get them both on the show at the same time, actually, which would be a kick. But that's, you know, that's kind of the thing to, but the different generations and how the kids are thinking. So you take someone, have you heard Brianna ever on the show?
I have.
Any of your reports? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's brilliant. You know, if all the teenagers were like her, I wouldn't worry about anything. They're not.
Right. No, they're not. They're not at all. She's very strong. She's a good example of a leader. She's everything that Greta Thunberg should have been. quite blatant, right?
That's funny you should say that, because if you want someone representing, you know, teenagers, Greta Thunberg is probably the worst person to pick. Spoiled little brat.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you?
Right.
Well, how dare you? Little shit.
Yeah.
Go away.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly.
But anyway.
Oh, I know.
Only for effect. Yeah. But spoiled little brat. But someone like Beak, far better, far more intelligently, mm-hmm. and could easily do a UN speech. Easily. So.
Yeah.
Hoping to get
absolutely.
Her to, we'll see if she's coming to our January 7th thing. Everybody's kind of making fun of it. It should have been January 6th, Greg. Yeah, it's kind of ironic it's January 7th because that's when my Facebook, my latest Facebook restriction ends. Just in time. Anyway.
Yeah.
Can you stay past the top of the hour? Because we've got like the second hour or two because we've been sort of rambling on silly stuff here for a while.
I can stay for maybe a little bit, but not the whole hour because I've got an appointment I got to get to.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, no problem. I hate restrictions on time. And in fact, on Rumble, I don't even know if we have a restriction. You know, I could do maybe 4 or 5
yeah.
hours if I'm having fun. I have no idea. Who knows? We'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same pay per hour kind of thing that that Blog Talk is. So they're in for some big changes. Okay, what you got? What's going on? What's on your mind this week?
Well, I've got several different things. I didn't know, since you brought it up at the end of the show last week, I'd like bring this up earlier, and that was the Ohio abortion law. Kind of getting mm-hmm. more into the nitty gritty of that. Is that something that you want to touch on a little bit more? Have you had time to discuss it? Because I didn't
well,
know how much further you got into it.
It's off the news completely. It's like people forgot it. But I'm happy to discuss
yeah.
it because there's some things that people haven't thought about. Like I was the one that pointed out that men benefit tremendously from this, just as I mm-hmm. pointed out that men benefit tremendously from the Equal Rights Amendment. I'm like, you idiots. Don't you realize that that ends selective service? That ends discrimination? You know, in college and admissions, mm-hmm. that ends child support mandated for only men, you know, or, I mean,
right.
equalizes family court. I mean, Equal Rights Amendment is fabulous for men, but men, you know, a lot of times are idiots. They believe what they're told, you know, like I guess everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the population is you know, sheep. But this one, this abortion law, which, and the very first sentence, everyone.
Right.
Not every woman.
Mm-hmm. Every individual.
Every individual. Have you got the line right there? Because I want to see if we can get the exact
I do. Yes.
Go ahead.
Every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions, including but not limited to decisions on contraception, fertility treatment, continuing one's own pregnancy, miscarriage care, and abortion.
Okay, but it's not limited to those. So child support is a consideration. Whether to be a father or not, that's one's own reproductive
mm-hmm.
choice. Okay, they're not considering
right.
that.
Right.
But it doesn't
no,
matter
and where,
what they...
where does that leave
ahead.
It, though? What if you have the disagreement between the male and the female? So who's going to win the argument? If every individual has the right to carry out their own decisions,
mm-hmm.
let's say the woman doesn't want to keep the pregnancy and the man does. Who wins?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's where
Is
you
it
have
because,
to separate.
Because,
yeah, that's a good question.
I was going to say, you know, if the woman is carrying the child, does she take control of the decision because she's the one actually medically carrying the child and therefore overriding the decision of the father?
Well, we know we have a bill, our abortion bill, which splits
mm-hmm.
abortion into two events under law. The first one is terminating the pregnancy, and the second one is saving the baby. And you can't do the first one
mm-hmm.
Unless you can do the second. So the
right.
ruling, if I were in the court, if I were the judge, I'd say, okay, you can terminate the pregnancy. You can give up your parental rights. You can choose not to be a mother. That's fine. But you have to carry it because
mm-hmm.
you're pregnant, you know, and it's not, now we're talking about two lives. Okay. Just as you can't
yeah.
kill somebody in real life, you can't kill somebody who's in your body either. And so therefore my decision, if I were a judge, would be, okay, fine. As soon as that baby can be saved medically and that age gets younger and younger all the time, then
mm-hmm.
you can have an abortion and we'll save the baby and then the father gets custody, 100%.
Right, right.
Now, if the mm-hmm. father chooses not to, then we can go to extended family or we can do adoption or we can do whatever all the other means, foster care, which I can't stand. But there's a bunch of other things, you know. And so,
mm-hmm.
but once you separate killing a baby from an abortion, see, that's the problem with abortion. It's the biggest problem. People don't mind women terminating pregnancy. That's definitely a choice. What they mind is killing the baby
mm-hmm.
in the process, that automatic connection. And no, I don't know why no one's ever
mm-hmm.
thought to break that connection. Why don't you just break that connection? Make it two events. You know, the
right.
horrible lack of you talk about lack of creativity. And this goes back to that NASA study we talked about. You look at all the solutions we come up here. We come up with solutions that no one's ever come up with. And they're not that different. They're not that hard. You know, if the problem is,
right.
you know, killing babies, then stop killing the babies. Just terminate
exactly.
the pregnancy. And people are like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever thought of that. Well, that's what we're here. That actually is our job at Action Radio, to propose things that no one's ever thought of. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's called thinking outside the box. That's all it is. Get off the soapbox and start thinking out of it.
You know what I say? When someone says thinking outside the box, you can quote me. There is no box.
No, well, that's true. That's very true.
I don't think outside the box. I think there is no box. And you say that to people like, huh? What do you mean there's no box? Man, there's no box. Well, you're outside the box. No, I'm not. I don't have a box.
There is no box.
You're outside the box.
You're still matrixy in that.
Yeah, you're still controlled by the box. If you're outside the box or inside the box, it doesn't matter. There's still a box.
Right.
Still a framework. I don't operate with a framework. I'm a free thinker.
Yeah, that's why I said you're like the Matrix spoon trick. There is no spoon.
Exactly. Oh, definitely. Matrix is one of my favorite films. I love that film. Now, later they got a little silly, but the original concept of human beings as a battery plugged into a matrix living a false life, that's exactly what's going on. I find it fascinating. Wendy was
right.
I read that Wendy. She says, you don't know how true that is, but apparently this is that movies are, I don't know if they're given scripts for what the future planners have in store for us, but so many things, you know, come out. That Soylent Green, you know, good example. Star Trek, you know, flip phones from communicators, you know, floppy disks. It's like everything on Star Trek came to pass for real. We don't have phasers yet, but it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, the instant, the teleportation where you just turn into particles and then you're instantly in another place.
Nah, that's not
going to
work.
I'm waiting for that.
Nah, that's not going to happen. We'll get warp drive before we get transporters.
Right.
No, we'll still need shuttlecraft. No, you know, yeah, you get no, you can't. No, the ability to break us down into atoms, transfer us through walls, you know, and reassemble with absolutely nothing down there on a planet. Are you kidding? No, I don't think so. Shuttlecraft.
Yeah,
it's gonna be shuttlecraft.
No, I know.
But phasers. We can do phasers. We can definitely do phasers. Oh, yeah, that's possible.
Sure.
Yeah,
that'll work.
Then we have to have a concealed carry phaser permit. It'd be a CCP. For a concealed carry phaser. Do you have your CCP?
Oh,
what?
Man.
Your CCP, your concealed carry phaser. Oh, gee, I didn't think about that.
I thought you were talking about China.
Exactly, yeah. That's why when I said it, I thought, oh, this is good. This is a double entendre.
Right?
I'm being funny. Yeah. Do you think people can keep up with us on Rumble? I mean, you know, like I said, the speed at which we talk and the speed at which ideas come out and the speed at which we change topics.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is mental basketball.
You might have to change your tagline. Have to change your tagline to, like, you know, well, something like we speak at warp speed or something like that. You know, keep up with us because we're warp speed reporters. Something that acknowledgement so that people know going in that we do. If we go down different rabbit holes and we do it quite quickly, and if you can't keep up, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, leave no listener behind or viewer behind.
Leave no listener behind.
Yeah, we'll call it the Action Radio Rumble, you know, for our new place.
There you go.
Welcome. Yeah. I'll do like my mixed martial arts voice. And now, welcome to the Action Radio Rumble here on Action Radio Citizen Legislature. Be like truck pulls.
There you go.
Okay, fine.
There you
back
go.
Back to you, Bonnie.
And the grave digger. The grave digger will come. Yeah, sure. I can give you a serious topic.
Saved by the Bell.
Serious topic, but we'll...
Do you know where Saved by the Bell came from?
Oh.
Speaking of grave diggers. You ever
no.
heard the story?
Where did Saved by the Bell
come
from?
Because people were buried. They weren't quite dead. And they'd wake up underground, and they find them like years later clawing at the things. So what they used to do is they bury people
with
a little bell. And if you if you pull the string, so if you pull the string, it means you're still alive. It's like, I'm not dead yet. Yes, you are. No, I'm not.
No,
I'm feeling better. Nope, you're dead.
Bring out your dead. Merely a flesh wound. Merely a flesh wound.
That's a different movie. That's a different part.
I know, but I can combine them. I can combine them.
That's true. You can't. This is the ultimate free speech zone.
There is no box. Greg.
Thank you, Bonnie. Corrected by the reporter. Okay, fine. Host stands
right.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I'm impressed. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Okay.
Well, onto an interesting topic before, because I do want to talk a little bit about COVID, but before I get to COVID, I want to talk a little bit about the article that you had found about the surveillance program.
Yeah, because I didn't get a chance to read
that.
Tell me about that one.
Oh, my goodness. So I dug into this last night, and my jaw hit the floor several different times. So essentially, the secret White House surveillance program is giving cops access to trillions of U.S. phone records. Now, we don't even have trillions in our population. It's trillions because it's the number of phone transactions. But U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, if I'm saying that correct, I think it's hysterical because it rhymes with Biden. Ron Wyden.
He's a Democrat too, right?
I think he is, actually. I think he is. I could not find where he was. I should have done a little bit more research on where
he's
from. But anyway,
he's like
he sent
New York,
a letter.
New Jersey, someplace corrupt.
Okay.
Know, from up there.
Well, see, that's even better. That's even better. Ron Wyden rhymes with Joe Biden, and he's from the Northeast. He's wicked, wicked smart if he's going to do this right. But he sent a letter to the DOJ. And and I love that somebody's standing up for challenging the legality of this bill, because the Data Analytical Services, the DAS, for more than 10 years has been allowing federal, state, and local levels of law enforcement to basically mine the details of these calls. Now, they're not recordings. It's basically just transaction records. So they can pick up your location, your name, your phone number, obviously where you're from, and how many times you've contacted different people. And this was supposed to be in conjunction with criminals. So the whole point of it was when you're doing an investigation.
Or terrorism.
So,
yeah, it's either criminals or terrorism.
Right, exactly.
So we're gonna search everybody in case. Right.
Yeah, bingo. It's all the connections to the criminal, whether it's your spouse, your kids, your mother-in-law, your favorite baker, or your barber. We're all, you're connected. Okay, well, we've got access to your phone records. And that's how they can kind of claim that they're able to do this. Mm-hmm. Well, interestingly enough, using that, what's called chain analysis is how they're doing that. It's targeting anybody in that chain. It used to be called, the DAS used to be called Hemisphere. And it was in coordination with AT&T. And we all know AT&T is humongous.
Mm-hmm.
The White House actually gave them more than $6 million for the program when it was called Hemisphere. And back in 2013.
And where did they get the money for that? Where was the account? Where did they get, which account did they pull it out of?
Well, a little bit later on, as I was digging through it, they were using the Office of Drug Control Policy to do that. So they're
so the
claiming
shifting money
basically
around.
That they're going after criminals.
Right.
Correct.
So Congress,
shipping
Congress
money
allocates
from the
money.
Drug.
Right. Let's get the source on this. Let's get the I usually like to do the article, the date, and the author of the article, so everybody knows what we're talking about.
So the article that you had given, I'm pulling it up here, is from, it's a proxy article. Let's see if I can find.
So you
can
give the source you have there, then the original source.
It was November 20th. It's from Wired.
Yeah. So 2 days ago.
W-I-R-E-D.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Got an author?
So essentially, I believe Del Cameron and Dhruv Mehrotra, if I can pronounce that correctly.
Sounds Russian. Maybe Dhruv. Hey, Dhruv, you should call the show. We talk about this surveillance. You know from KGB about surveillance.
Yes, that's something of collusion. So
I call you
Bonovich. 2013,
I call you Bonovich from now on. Or Bonova. Yes, you be Bonova.
Yeah.
Reporter from KGB.
Oh, okay. Well, about 10 years ago, this used to be called Hemisphere. And the DAS was maintained under an affiliated program.
Okay, fine.
Hemisphere, yes. The HIDTA, which stands for High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area, that's who was basically monitoring this. And it was funded by the White House's office, as I said, of the National Drug Control Policy. And here's where it got interesting for me. They are actually exempt from legality because of loopholes in the federal privacy law. So it's exempt. This whole organization is exempt from the rules requiring assessments of privacy impacts and exempt from the freedom of information because it was run out of the White House. And the White House is exempt from basically all privacy matters. So they
well, they're not exempt from the Fourth Amendment.
Out of the White House.
They're not exempt from the Fourth Amendment.
Correct.
So that,
and that's why Ron Wyden is challenging it, saying that this is unconstitutional, because there was actually a 2018 ruling that would be an unconstitutional practice without a warrant to be going in and getting phone records.
Absolutely.
And they were also given over $280 million in 2020 alone. So in 2020, we had COVID, right?
Oh, yeah. There
isn't it interesting that they were given $280 million the same year COVID was put into place?
Well, the government borrowed $7 trillion. So, I'd love to know where it all went, because it wasn't needed. It was completely unnecessary because we had hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. So every dollar that was borrowed for COVID was not needed. So, but it still went somewhere. So this is one of those places that it went.
Correct.
So COVID was the excuse, all the mandates and everything else they did. But, yeah, that's a good thing to find out. But this would be worth tracing you know, where this money came from, how they did it, and why. Here's the thing, too. This is more of a general question. Is the government left to their own devices will spend any amount of money, will bend any law, will exempt themselves from any law. They will do whatever they want in terms of invading, you know, our lives, and they don't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not even one. I mean, right. The Constitution isn't even a consideration for them. It never occurs to them that there are any limits on their power. And that's the most dangerous part right there, that the psychology of these people is so bad that they can think about, look at the people that are still saying, well, you can't say the 2020 election was stolen. You're challenging the results. Well, I'm challenging the whole election, not just the results. And isn't it, don't you also find it fascinating?
Right.
People say, you can't challenge the results of the election. Oh, wait a minute. What about the election itself?
Yeah.
What about all the procedures?
Exactly.
What about all the voting machines? And here's another one, too. Javier Milei, I found out on Steve Bannon's War Room yesterday, Argentina was all paper ballots. That's how he got elected. It's all paper ballots, which proves that if left to freedom, or if people are left on their own to actually have an honest election, they choose freedom. They chose freedom in this country.
Right.
They chose freedom in Colombia. They chose freedom in Brazil. They chose freedom in France with Marine Le Pen. They actually got the person in Italy, the woman, Genoa, I've forgotten her name. But when it comes to, and they're going to choose freedom here. Again.
Right.
But, you know, but government doesn't care. And when the government wants to choose the government. The only way we could end up with Joe Biden in the White House is if the government chose the government. Because the people would never choose him.
Right.
You know, and have you ever asked anybody that, you know, those people that are like, oh, Biden won the election. I said, really, do you honestly believe that Joe Biden, in a declining mental state where he was never that good to begin with, and his prime never scored well on any primary, it was like number six usually, right? How he could suddenly beat Donald Trump when he's at his worst, with the worst possible policies for this country. And you don't need evidence. You don't need truckloads of ballots and fraud and things. You don't need it. Just simple logic. Prove to me that Biden was so qualified that the people of this country loved him so much that they'd outvote Donald Trump, given the fact that we were incredibly happy up until COVID. And
exactly.
No one can answer that.
And we all and Trump also won the popular vote, as we know, because you look at the numbers and he was absolutely a winner in that, and more than any previous election. And yes, that's because there's more people, it seems, in every single election. But why Biden? Out of all of the nominees that were there. And obviously the same thing similarly happened with Hillary Clinton when Trump beat her. It was the flip-flop of, you know, people complaining, not my president, not my president. And now we go around and we say, Biden, not my president. And you're given hate, like total disrespect. Like,
oh, sure,
how dare you?
There's no consistency. There's no consistency. It's expediency.
No.
It's what I mean, the left will completely reverse their argument if it suits their purpose. It's
correct.
Really quite fascinating how this all works. But yeah. It's an amazing process. But anyway, back to the surveillance. They don't care.
Yeah.
Now, what are they doing with all this information? Does the article go into that?
It talks a little bit about they're not really sure how far back it even goes. They know that there's at least 6 months worth on every single given number, but they don't know what happens to it after that time frame. The numbers that are on the chain, that they are basically the connections of people. They know that there's at least 6 months worth of data there, and then there's no mention given of what happens after that 6 months. Is it deleted? Is it stored in some kind of hard drive? It does not mention. So would be interesting to know how far back they can even go.
Can police, you know, dial up my number, for example, and find out everybody I've called in the last 6 months? Is that how it works?
If you're on the list, yes.
Okay.
The short answer is yes.
So in other words, AT&T has transferred their phone records over to the federal government.
Federal, local, and state, all three. Just the federal.
And how did they think this was even legal? Nobody could defend this as being legal. I mean, it's a complete, you know, if a private company did this, well, of course, a private company is doing it for the government. But if a private company released all that information, there'd be a data breach. It'd be illegal. You know, same thing. It's like, you know, when the government releases in Florida all our private, you know, address, phone number, because we registered to vote. And I've been trying to get a bill into our state legislators for years now. Say, no, you can't put that stuff on the internet. And if a private company did that, it'd be a data breach.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's completely unconstitutional. So it's going to be interesting to see if he has any success in challenging this with the DOJ. But obviously, we know, given the current administration, it's the current
He may not. he may not, because a lot of those folks who were, where I think the police used that, would have been J6 people. So Bank of America gave over all the J6 records, right? Of all the people that had credit cards or debit cards that spent money during January 6th in Washington, D.C. Well, it wouldn't be hard to then take those people and go to AT&T and get their phone records and find out who they talked to and then get those people in. See, that's the problem.
And
it's not just one problem. It's
in
it's,
conjunction.
It's the, go ahead.
I was going to say, in conjunction with the January 6th thing, something that I found interesting recently that I read about the new Speaker of the House was that he was – well, I think it was already released. It was something like 40,000 hours of security camera footage were released from January 6th that never before had been released. And in the process, he came out publicly and made a statement saying anybody who was involved in the January 6th would be like blocked as far as the video footage goes. They were going to not show faces because he was not about implicating anyone. And that goes both ways as well. That goes for the ones that were there innocently, not doing any harm, and the Antifa implants that were there. Nobody else is supposed to be implicated in this. It's just supposed to be released footage for the public to get all the more details on January 6th.
Yeah, they shouldn't have blocked people out of it. No, because, you know, it's a public place. It was public surveillance. Everybody knows they were being, there was surveillance. Mm-hmm. So, no, there's no expectation of privacy when you walk into the Capitol.
Right.
So, no, that wouldn't go. But the problem is, though, that they can use that to get off Antifa people and all the operatives, Black Lives Matter and everybody else, and all the mercenaries that were there. But
exactly.
Laura Loomer, not Laura Loomer, who is it? Laura Logan. On Twitter has some stuff. Go to Citizen Free Press. The top story is on Laura Logan's interviews. She's got Jim Hoft and all this other stuff. So all the surveillance is coming out. You know, you got the guy wearing the MAGA hat and the mask who has a, flashes a badge as he walks into the Capitol. You got the guy that was arrested with the zip ties. They take out the zip ties, then he fist bumps the cops. He's like, hey, yeah, thanks, guys, appreciate it. You know, and then he walks off.
Right.
I mean, it's just horrendous things. You got Ray Epps everywhere. Ray Epps is like Waldo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's Ray? You know, Ray's at the barricade.
Mm-hmm.
Ray's at the next barricade. You know, Ray's saying everybody has to go into the Capitol. Ray's pushing people through the door. You know, there's Ray.
Right.
Ray
Epps
is there again.
Yep.
The ubiquitous, ever-present, you know, man behind, you know, in front of the scenes, the tall guy, you know, who had nothing to do with it, Mr. Ray Epps. And he's everywhere. He's like, you know, mm-hmm. Universal Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's everywhere. Yeah.
Universal Man.
Fascinating.
He's Patriot Man.
Yep. He's a real American dad.
Oh,
Ray Epps. You get Ray Epps on our side, you can do anything you want. You know, you take John Wayne and Ray Epps. They're out there. They're defending America. Damn it. Yeah.
There you go. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Well, on to the COVID topic that I wanted to kind of touch base on. There was an article actually a couple of weeks back that I found very interesting that absolutely nobody is talking about. So here's a little bit of not in the news.
Oh, I love stories like that. Yeah, here's and now, Monia Nesbitt with not in the news.
Exactly. So there's more evidence of the ties between the U.S. government and the Wuhan lab is where this starts, as well as funding dangerous virus across the globe. The NIH under Fauci, under Dr.
Fauci. Dr. Fascist.
Dr. Fascist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Under his leadership, they infected 12 Egyptian fruit bats with WIVI at a lab in Montana back in 2018. So we're talking about 5 years ago. And 15 minutes away from Camp David in Maryland, there's like this wildlife preserve, which is something I did not know about, called the Catoctin Wildlife Preserve. It has a history of animal welfare violations. And it was actually fined $12,000 back in 2012 for poor and dangerous animal housing and inadequate animal care. However,
how
the records
that?
Show that they – yeah, I know, right? Like, it's literally less than 15 minutes from Camp David, and it's a wildlife preserve, but they're being fined for mistreating the animals.
Okay.
Back in 2023, in April of this past year, there were 241 bats there, 41 of which were Egyptian fruit bats. And
that's a lot of
bats
for a Maryland wildlife reserve from Egypt, don't you think?
Yeah. Bingo. Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah, it was a lab.
Yep.
It was a lab.
Yep.
And
exactly.
It was close to Camp David
exactly.
So that, you know, Obama, or Brandon wouldn't, but Obama could sneak out and, you know, make sure the operation was going well. So we know.
Right.
Yeah, but,
so he was on his little trip to Martha's Vineyard, getting ready to have, you know, a fun time swimming and later on kill his chef and then, you know, go down to the wildlife preserve and infect some bats and just have a great, it's a great day in the Obama household. We're just, you know, getting stuff done for the Americans.
So speaking of the chef, in fact, we had Jessica Rivera looking into that story. She first covered it. And we actually did cover the story of the fruit bat lab a while back. So that's, it was in the news here. I don't know if anybody else had it. Some other places had it, but I love stories like that. In fact, one of the folks I should, let me see if I can find it here real quickly, does media blackout, 10 stories they chose not to tell you. So if you want to go to the Vigilant Fox, V-I-G-I-L-A-N-T, Vigilant Fox, every week she puts out the media blackout, 10 stories they chose not to cover. So feel free to, there's your instant not in the news source. And so you might find some stuff there. But Tefari Campbell, the dead chef,
yes.
who could swim,
yes.
who was in 8 feet of water, who probably could have walked out, you know, with a little bit of bounce here and there for
right.
her, you know, who had a perfectly good flotation device right beside him, who had a friend in the water with him, an undisclosed woman, drowns?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
Sure
right.
he did. What drugs was he on? Probably a
exactly.
curare. They probably give him a nerve paralyzing toxin. Would they serve him blowfish for lunch or something? What do you think?
Well, they obviously served him something to suicide him because, you know, that's just mm-hmm. a common trend. So
yeah.
I could have been
suicide's
blowfish.
Not a verb.
Who knows?
Or
maybe they just gave him some bad sushi. I don't know. Whatever it was.
Maybe they fed him pangolin COVID or fruit bat.
There you
well, actually,
go.
He's the chef.
That's
he's
what
the
I'm
chef.
Saying.
He would have made it. He would have made it. So they probably snuck in some, you know, some what that stuff they dip the spears in, pygmies in Africa, nerve toxin, or some of the other nasty things out there. Snake venom. We're going to talk about that with Brian Artis at 10
snake
o'clock.
Snake venom.
Yeah.
There
Wait,
you go.
Snake venom. That's what it is. Okay, yeah. So did you know the Clinton chef also died? Drowning?
No. Was it
Jessica
drowning?
Jessica reported that. Yeah. So being a White House chef to a Democrat president is not a good idea. Now, Pianki thinks that he was stupid Michelle, but Josie thinks that
yes,
Michelle's a dude.
Yes.
So it gets very complicated.
Right.
The Obamas are complex. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard both. So who knows? Who knows? But there is an interesting thing that I think that you probably have already thought of, and that is when it comes to COVID itself.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of talking about this with my brother the other day, and he's like, what if COVID was designed purposefully to infect intentionally all the drug users / abusers / elderly people? Now, I already thought it was designed to take care of a specific population of people who would not comply first and foremost, but I never really gave the thought of a drug abuser much credence. But then I started thinking more and more. What if
they want drug abusers. I mean, drug abusers take drugs. They're more people who abuse drugs. Legal
right?
drug abusers are what keep big pharma going.
That's what I said. I was like, "What? Why would you do that? What is the end game in all of this?" As we were fleshing this out, I'm like, "If you kill all of the drug users and abusers, you're literally killing your clientele by doing this." But no, think about this. If they did that and then made the vaccine to pick off any stragglers that never caught COVID. Then they could push the government program under a socialist, communist type of government, having full control of how to give drugs to people. So you start a whole new population.
No, they could do that anyway.
Wipe the slate clean. Well, they could. They could, but still you could wipe the slate clean, start over, and basically put government in charge and claim that you're solving things like the opioid epidemic in the process. And have
yeah,
the
government takes
people.
Charge anyway. I mean, you've got a fascist coalition of big government health Nazis under Dr. Fascist. You've got big tech, you know, people who are heavily invested in big pharma, which is heavily invested in. Now, I think the vaccine has always been, first of all, it's never a vaccine. The COVID shot has always been a marketing device because the COVID shot gives you COVID. Right. Just as the flu shot gives you flu.
Right.
Okay. So these are self-perpetuating marketing devices. So if you want to make money, you don't want to kill people. You want to keep as many people alive as possible. But what you want to do is terrorize them. You want to scare the hell out of them.
Very true.
And so what you do is you kill a certain amount of people in the hospitals on the remdesivir ventilator death march, as we used to call it. Brian Artis was one of the first to tell us about that. He'll be on in an hour. But yeah, you know, and so I've always believed this is a marketing device because I knew it was never needed. Because we had early treatments. I mean, I knew that back in February of 2020 when we first announced that, you know, in fact, we had, well, you know the sequence, right? Bill Gertz was on the show. Dr. Peter Pry introduced me to him. So Bill Gertz is on. I still got that show. This is why I want to preserve all our shows, right? So February 25th, Bill Gertz is on, tells us about the Wuhan lab. He just released it like a few days previously on in the Washington Times. So we were one of the first people to actually cover that. Well, since I'd already covered it, I didn't want to cover it 3 years later. That made no sense. So we covered Wuhan. 2 days later, I wrote a bill for Congress saying they can only spend half their money on the so-called vaccines, and the other half has to be spent on early treatments. If that were the case, COVID would have been done away with in about 10 weeks, which is the normal course of a virus. You ever see my show? Ever look at the slides that I put on my show? Ever see that CDC panel that shows that COVID was over basically July by 2020?
Yes. Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
You can't find that chart anywhere else. I have it on my computer because I screenshot it. But that chart is not available anymore. Why? Because it shows that COVID ended July of 2020. Well, if COVID ended July of 2020, why would you need to bring out a vaccine for COVID in December of 2020? That's stupid.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Because you don't need it. It's already done. It's already obsolete.
Nope.
So Trump,
all
he had to do was see that chart. He would have realized. What were you going to say? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you 100%. I was just going to put like an analogy out there. It's basically like having a sign up saying that, you know, you're ready to have a garage sale, but you had it a month ago. Like, it's already over. You done missed the boat.
Exactly. Here. Yeah, garage sale coming in December. You know, because we don't have it.
Yep.
Except we sold everything in July.
Yep. Yep, it'll be empty contents. No more used records and books. We're all out.
Yeah, but you still have to
worry.
Buy something.
We got
to find
that.
You still have to go to it, right? It's mandatory that you go to it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's mandatory to attend, even though we have nothing to offer.
Uh-huh. And you have to pay us for it, too. So it's mandatory. You have to pay for it. Otherwise, you lose your job and your house and your business.
Mm-hmm.
But all the goods were sold in July. Sorry.
Yep.
It's very money.
White sale.
Yeah. Oh, have you heard the January white sale? Have you ever played through that one?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
That's why I brought it up.
I'll save it for another time. Yeah. So in January, we'll start that. Well, we should probably do Christmas greetings. Let's have a little fun. Have you heard our Christmas greetings?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Let's play that real quickly here. Here we go. Hello, everyone. It's that time of year again. So here is just a friendly little message from your Action Radio revolutionaries. In preparation for Christmas and New Year's, we have just a few ideas and suggestions to make your holiday complete. Granted, these are times of adversity brought about by bureaucrats in what we affectionately call the leftist lockdown orgasmic power trip. But don't let a completely illegal, martial law style abdication and removal of your constitutional rights get in the way of a decent glass of eggnog with friends. After all, 6-foot social distancing is a completely false concept for a virus that can linger in the air for hours in aerosol form, can be sneezed well over 200 feet, can travel through an entire 10-story building central air system in a couple of minutes, and goes through a mask like a mosquito through a chain-link fence. So, no matter what you do, everyone is getting exposed sometime. Leaving the healthy people alone accomplishes this in about 10 weeks. So, this should have been done the end of May. Speaking of masks, besides being a violation of your Fourth Amendment rights against seizure of your person, in this case, your face, without due process, the state can't make you wear a mask. So, go home if you're sick, but if not, go free face, as all real Americans are doing, and enjoy the Christmas season. Apparently, there is a deplorable lack of New Year's resolutions this year. Well, I have one. To resist. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to restore and rejuvenate that inner rugged individual the left has tried so hard to put behind a mask and lockdown, and I'm going to resist. So, you find a creative way to resist, there's your revolution resolution. Remember, folks, those Twilight Zone episodes where people wore masks? They were supposed to make you think, not make you copy them. Family values should be emphasized this Christmas with the traditions that bind us together. Sit as close as you can at dinner. Remember those wet kisses from Grandma when you were a kid? Engage in spirited debates. Don't forget to use serving dishes where everyone sticks their own personal fork and spoon in, all in the interest of sharing. Remind everyone that closing churches violates the First Amendment. Closing businesses without criminal convictions violates our Fifth Amendment right to life, liberty, and property. And closing schools denies our kids their right to an education. So, you may want to point that out to your governors and mayors this festive season so they understand their transgressions and can repent. I would have suggested you go to New York this year, but quite frankly, they don't have the balls to celebrate New Year's. No, really, the ball isn't dropping. Maybe we should rename Times Square Tiananmen Square West. Remember that there are many great gifts you can share this Christmas, particularly AR-15s and AK-47s. Those tend to warm the heart.
As we say at Action Radio, world peace through strength. Just remember that everything the government tells you is wrong. So if you want to avoid COVID, don't take the vaccine. Go to the beach instead. Get that sunshine and vitamin D. Stay away from home. Engage in commerce and business. Travel as much as you can. Work out at crowded gyms. Drive extensively, preferably with the windows open. Patronize businesses that are in open rebellion. And resist, resist, resist the doctor dictatorship. In closing, let me just say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Happy Hanukkah. Muslims, you don't have a holiday at this time, so just go eat Chinese food on Christmas Eve and meet some really nice Jewish folks. Hey, they might be your neighbors. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. Oh, well. I have my moments. So those are my Christmas greetings. That was funny. From either November or December of 2020. This is right in the first year of all this nonsense. And we had it all called. We knew. That's like my Joe Biden's Dark Winter, where I predicted all the things that would happen if the election were stolen. And they all came true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Yeah. Yeah. So pathetic.
Anyway, top of the hour. Yeah. I don't want to keep you for too long, but I know you have more stories we didn't cover because we were bantering about Rumble and everything else.
Right. Well, I think that we touched a little bit about the helicopter story last week. I was trying to remember how much we got on that about the refueling mishap.
Not really a lot. I want to know more about it because helicopters don't generally do that.
Right. And I know that they can easily land and refuel on the ground. So the refueling exercise in the air seemed like originally I thought that's very, very odd. And I know you thought the same thing. Like, why are they even practicing doing that? Because they can just hover and they can descend slowly no matter what. And I know they were over the Mediterranean body of water, and you made the point that but they can still land in water without everyone dying. They could easily, you know, hover, land, everybody escapes the helicopter should something go wrong. Mm-hmm. I can't find anything that says it was intentionally shot, obviously, because that's not going to be in the news. But I'm interested in your theory.
I don't really have one yet. But I did find an article. Let me see if I still have it up here on my list of many articles that talked about that they generally don't do this with helicopters. And they're including Ospreys and helicopters, which are the tiltrotors. And so let me see. Mm-hmm. Here we go. So here's safety. Let me just pull up this article real quick. And this one is in Aviation. Good website, right? How is it safe for helicopters and Ospreys to refuel in midair? And this is from 10 minutes ago. So it's I don't have an author's name, but it says, how do military helicopters like the Black Hawk and the CH-53, as well as the V-22 Osprey, perform midair refueling without their rotor blades periodically and accidentally contacting the drogue or fuel hose? In other words, the rotors can cut the fuel line. Okay. That's what you worry about with these things, right?
Right.
And so it says, I imagine that the rotor blades did make contact with the fuel hose. Either the fuel would be released and be sparked and ignite. Oh, yeah, you put a bunch of fuel over a hot turbine engine going at full bore? Yeah, you're going to have a fire. Massive. You have a bomb explosion. Or ingested by the helicopter turbines, or the rotor would break, or all the above. When a helicopter is refueling, its rotor is nearly above the fuel hose. Da-da-da. Anyway, for the Osprey, anyway, it doesn't really give a good answer. I got a picture here of a Black Hawk refueling off a C-130. C-130 is going kind of slowly because it has to, because helicopters don't go that fast.
Right.
And so they have a really long refueling probe out front that is longer than the helicopter blades. That's how they do it. You know, otherwise, but it's not a safe thing. And I wouldn't think it would have to. Helicopters, I mean, they burn a lot of fuel, but it's not like a jet. Well, it is kind of like a jet. It's like a turbine.
Right.
You know, but it's not, it doesn't burn like an afterburning fighter jet.
Exactly. And they don't nosedive because of the way that the blades are in a helicopter. They can easily descend if they need fuel at any point, which is why I don't even understand why it's a necessary exercise for the military to be performing. It would be an absolute dire situation to have to refuel a helicopter midair.
Well, considering they're usually there, you know, in the theater, as they say, the theater of operations. Don't you love it? You go on tour when you go into combat, right? And you go to a theater. This is like George Carlin, you know, the use of language. But that's very strange that they would have to do that. First of all, helicopters are either on a carrier, and the ship can sail pretty close, right? You know, especially the Mediterranean, it's not that big, right? So I don't think there's a helicopter that couldn't fly, you know, across the width of the Mediterranean. I don't know how many miles it is, but it's not that far. you know, several hundred miles, whatever. But the Mediterranean is small. Mm-hmm. The other thing is the Army doesn't refuel their helicopters. They operate. You know, I think we did the entire Vietnam War with helicopters. I don't remember any of them ever refueling.
Right.
Because they'd have to go that far.
Yeah, well,
helicopters are made to go. Yeah, they're made to go right up into the battle, right up into the action.
Yep.
They fly in, they fly out. Why would you need to refuel them? So this is very strange to me. Unless you had helicopters coming from a very far away base. Now, bombers refuel because they'll take off in, you know, Indiana and fly to, I don't know, wherever they're flying, Afghanistan. So a lot of them fly ridiculously long missions. They have to refuel. Jet fighters have to refuel because they only have like about an hour and a half, 2 hours worth of fuel, tops. But they're always refueling. But they can go off carriers or land bases too. If you look at the Gulf War, they were either off carriers, but for the most part, those planes were off land bases. And have to refuel.
Right.
Because they're you know, 45 minutes, they're back. You know, they take off, put it in the afterburner, fly over their target, bomb it, come back, and they're done. Then they're at breakfast. You know. Interesting.
So the question is, why all five of them died in this process? Like, what was the mishap that actually happened there? And I certainly can't find any details of the last minutes of this helicopter. What occurred that caused all five of them to die? Was it just because it blew up from the fuel tank being over the turbine? And there was just no time for anybody to escape.
Well,
I mean,
did it crash?
It kind of blows my mind.
Did it crash?
And
where did it crash? In water or on land?
In water.
So it crashed in the water. Well, that means, you know, if they did an auto rotation, did the engine quit? Why did it crash? Did it blow up? I mean, we don't know. I mean, so let's put this under follow-up. So we got Tafari Campbell, Obama's chef, and then Clinton's chef that also got killed drowning. We've got now here's another question too. Remember the F-35 that crashed in Tennessee? Well, where's the follow-up? I'm not saying you, but I mean, where's the follow-up? Did they ever find it?
Right.
Where is it now? What was the cause of the crash? Why did the pilot
don't know
eject and the plane flew on for another 65 some odd miles? Was it in fact an F-35?
Right.
Has there ever been a picture of the airplane that crashed?
So
there's an investigation.
But again, definitely.
Wednesday. So these are questions I have. I love to look at stories that everybody's let go because they broadcast the story. They put a bunch of BS out there, and then they assume that everybody will just buy it and then forget it, which for the most part people do, but I don't. I've got a really good memory. And so things come back.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, okay, so let's find out about these mysterious crashes. What, you know, and how many of them are actually COVID shots? That's the other question.
All right, I'm taking notes.
Yeah, it's like Brian Sicknick. You know, we did a show on how Brian Sicknick was the first public victim of the COVID shot. He wasn't killed by a fire extinguisher. We know that. That was the first BS story. Then the coroner comes out and says he died of natural causes. Really? At 40? A healthy police officer? What kind of natural cause? Well, he had two strokes. He had two strokes? How do you get two strokes? Well, blood clots. Well, how do you get blood clots? Well, where do you get blood clots from at 40 years old? The COVID shot. So we did a show
the
saying
COVID
that Brian Sicknick died of the COVID shot. Yeah, he was the first public victim of the COVID shot.
But
that was January 6th, right? The vaccines weren't out, but they were for Capitol Hill. Nancy Pelosi made sure that everybody on Capitol Hill got their shots mid-December. They got them first.
Right.
So 3 weeks later, he's dead of a stroke or two. Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Well, that's what you brought up with Matthew Perry as well. Yeah, because we talked about
sure
him
a
little bit.
Right.
And Bob Saget, too. That was another one when he died that was very unusual that I would probably rank right up there with COVID shot being somewhat in conjunction with that. Do you remember that, the whole
tell me about
question
Bob Saget.
His death?
What happened with him?
He supposedly was in his hotel room after a show where he was completely fine. He was at the show and acting like himself, but then got back to his hotel room later that night and supposedly hit his head and fell, traumatic, blunt injury to his head. And even his family members were trying to investigate and say, no, I don't think this is right. I suspect foul play. And they tried investigating it. They couldn't find any foul play. They couldn't find drugs in his system. And he was, gosh, wasn't he like 62, 61? He was not that old. And
64.
So everybody thought it was very strange.
You know, I mean,
that's my point. He wasn't old.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
it's not old. There was no reason for it. It's not like he was in failing health. So for him to trip and fall and die, unless there was some kind of clot already going on. Yep. So again, I would suspect that it would be very similar to the Matthew Perry case, which is still undergoing investigation, by the way. So hopefully we'll have some answers soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He drowned in a hot tub. Oh, come on. Give me a break.
Yes.
That's even less plausible than Tafari Campbell in 8 feet of water. I can understand 8 feet of water. If you've got, you know, blowfish poison in you, but in a hot tub, how do you drown in a hot tub?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, unless you like lie down in it, unless you're doing a yoga position, head, you know, standing on your head, how do you drown? How do you drown in a hot tub?
Right. Well, and on these, honestly, like all of us know that he had issues with drugs. And so the first assumption that anybody jumps to is that he did something, that he was on something that totally made him out of it. And if that's the case, then yeah, it's very easy to drown because your reflexes aren't going to, you're going to be high. You're not going to recognize the fact that you're inhaling water unless you're with it enough to do so.
Inhaling water. You can't miss when you're inhaling water.
Well,
you know, because you feel really bad.
Right, but if your body's not reacting, if it's reacting very slow, as you know, like they've done studies on drunk drivers, and your reaction times are tremendously slower than normal when it comes to response. Mm-hmm. So it could have been that he was taking in water and just didn't even know really what to do because he was not with it. But I don't think that they're suspecting any drugs in his system. The toxicology reports have yet to come back, but they're not suspecting that he was on anything. So that's where I'm with you in the fact that it could have very easily been a blood clot from a COVID shot that caused him to just suddenly drown, like face down, boom, there you go.
See, that would be my first suspicion for anybody that's an entertainer, because there was so much peer pressure to conform, to take the COVID jab. I don't even want to say vaccine anymore, but to take the COVID jab. I mean, all the stars were out there. They were virtue signaling, as they say. They were showing themselves getting the jab, you know, and of course, Dr. Fascist did that too, but I'm convinced he was getting saline.
Right.
I guarantee you there's not a single drop of COVID shot in his system. In fact, it's interesting that and we mentioned this before, not a single politician has had an adverse vaccine effect. Isn't that interesting?
Right.
Not a single government official in Washington. Not a single government official in Washington is reported to have any adverse effect from the COVID shots. Not one. How's that possible?
Nope. The only adverse effects any of them got was, well, they still got COVID, but it would have been much worse if you hadn't gotten a COVID shot.
Oh, are you going to bring up my Dr. Fascist voice? Yeah, yeah. Like I told you, you know, you're going to wear a mask and you're going to get the COVID shot. I don't, but you do, because we've got to market this thing. And the way we market it is we scare the hell out of you. And then we make sure that just enough people die to scare the rest of you until you get the COVID shot. And what you do when you get the COVID shot is it gives you COVID. That's how we do it. Like it's a marketing thing. Okay. And then, of course, it helps me get rich. And that's the whole purpose of this thing. Anyway, I can't do that for long. I get disgusted myself. It's pretty close, though. That's
tough to look in the mirror afterwards.
That's pretty close. You know, that's Dr. Fascist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll have to have a Dr. Fascist filter, and I'll start talking like him on the show. Yeah, no,
there
Dr. Fascist out here taking over. I could actually be other people. Wow.
You could. You could.
I could do the show with Jimmy Stewart.
You could also grab a toupee and get a fake tan, and you could just come out with no collusion and be Trump. I would love it.
I've never tried doing Trump. Trump would be interesting. You know, certain Bill Clinton, I find very hard to do. I have to work on it, though.
Mm.
Yeah. Some people come naturally. Dr. Fascist is easy.
I did not inhale.
You sound like Nigel Farage. You sound British. I did not inhale. You know, like a Cockney. I didn't inhale. Okay, fine. Yeah, I was on the east side of London, but I didn't inhale.
I didn't know I was all British. I thought I was doing an Arkansas governor.
No, you went back to your colonial days. You immediately reverted.
I am female, so I can't do a very good Clinton. It's okay.
Well, he does a lot of females, but that's another story.
Oh, jeez.
Where is he now anyway? Is he still alive? Does he have like diseases and things? I mean, what, you know, man, I don't wish him any harm. I just make that clear. But yeah, I haven't seen him publicly for a while. And apparently he looks terrible.
The last I saw, he was very thin. He looked very frail. And he was trailing the coattails of Hillary in her campaigning. I haven't seen much of him since.
Hmm. Do you find that interesting?
Well, I find it interesting in as much as the fact that I believe Hillary has always held the whip. So basically she's whipped him into submission and he's just doing as he's told. And, you know, I don't think it's that odd. I do believe that she holds the firm pants in that family.
She doesn't need him anymore?
No, she hasn't needed him for a long time. She's got everything right where she wants it. She's the one probably behind all the suiciding.
Well, I'm sure she is. You know, she's in my psychopath, you know, group. So there's several people watching that I think are true psychopaths. Hillary Clinton, and I define psychopath as people that can lie and murder and do anything with absolutely no conscience. Doesn't faze them in the slightest. Okay, so she could easily have 60 people killed, you know, if they got in her way.
Yep.
And she wouldn't lose a wink of sleep. Wouldn't bother her in the slightest.
Mm-hmm.
Alejandro Mayorkas.
She proved that.
Well, she killed Muammar Gaddafi and said, hey, you know, we came, we conquered, he died.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So she's a true psychopath. Mayorkas is another true psychopath. You know, Congress puts videos right behind him, you know, or right behind them of the border being completely open, millions of people crossing it. And he'll look at them and say, well, the border is secure.
Right.
Well, we're just trying to facilitate the orderly transition to citizenship. That's our job. That's a psychopath.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's a Jedi mind trick failure, essentially. Yeah. Nothing to see here.
This isn't the border you're looking for.
Exactly.
These aren't the aliens. Yeah, Yoda. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
You can't
the
win,
are.
Yeah. These aren't the droids you're looking for. Yeah, this will be my Alec Guinness.
Exactly.
Anyway, but yeah. And the third one is, of course, Dr. Fascist. Dr. Fascist is an
absolutely
psychopath.
Psychopath.
No conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Killed a million people just so he could get rich off marketing his COVID jabs.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else in the club? Who else are you putting in the psychopath club? Obama. Let's put Obama.
Obama, yes, but I think I would also put Pelosi in there. I really do. Just for the simple fact that she literally does not care. Do you remember during COVID when they interviewed her, like it was a special interview of what Pelosi's life is like behind the scenes? And people literally can't even go to the store because we're ordered not to leave our homes. And they're opening up her freezer and she's got like 52,000 pints of Jenny's ice cream, which had to be specially shipped in because Jenny's ice cream is made in Ohio. I've been there. I've had it. It's delicious ice cream. It's a specialty company in Ohio. So I have access to it being in Indiana. They do ship some of it in. But she lives in California. So they had to literally ship it in dry ice to her at an exorbitant taxpayer price, probably of like $25 a pint. And she's opening up her freezer, proudly displaying all of her Jenny's ice cream cartons, not giving a flippant care to the rest of the nation. It's just like the old saying, which I know she never actually said the words, but let them all eat cake. It's right flying in the face of all of the Americans. She did not care. And then with the whole husband issue of somebody showing up at the door and then the police come and they're asking him what's going on with the whole hammer ordeal. And, oh, no, I don't know who he was. He just came into my home, but don't hurt him. You know she knew all of that, and she wouldn't come out with any of it. She's had insider trading going on for years. I would definitely put her in the psychopath category. She has no conscience.
I want to rethink that, too. I want to think Obama, too, because I do – a true psychopath. Now, these people might be dangerous. They might be mentally unstable. They might be megalomaniacs in terms of ego. I think I would put Obama and Pelosi in the megalomaniac category. That they are so convinced of their own self-righteousness and importance that they can do anything. But a true psychopath has no conscience. I'm talking about people with no conscience. See, Obama can be embarrassed. And if you can be embarrassed, then you've got a bit of conscience.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still be a megalomaniac.
He was not even embarrassed. But she wasn't embarrassed or apologetic when she tore up Trump's State of the Nation speech. She's the only person in history to stand behind a president and rip up his speech on live TV. Didn't care.
That's just arrogant.
Unapologetically.
I disagree with you there. I don't think it makes her a psychopath. So let's look at two organizations. There's the megalomaniac egotistical club, and that's where I put. Now you can you're free to move people around. This is just kind of fun. But that's I would put Obama and Pelosi in the megalomaniac circle. I would put Hillary, Mayorkas, and Dr. Fascist in the true psychopath circle because they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Not one bit.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit. Yeah. which would be grounds for kicking him out of government, one would think. You know who else is in that group? Merrick Garland and possibly Chris Wray. Merrick Garland. We're not going after Catholic.
Merrick Garland,
or
for sure.
Parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing that what's his name ever did, the turtle, Mitch McConnell, ever did was keep Merrick Garland off the Supreme Court. That was a good move.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mitch. Now go retire. Well,
what about Comey?
What? Comey,
I don't know that much about him.
I don't know that much about him. So he's kind of a mystery, but since he's not there. Well, the biggest thing is how many people is Trump going to replace when he comes back? He's talking about getting rid of 50 million illegals. He's missing two components. I talked to Christina Bob about this. I said, look, you've got to correct your citizenship on the way out. And so you've got to go back at least a generation. So anybody that was born here to non-U.S. parents, you know, and anybody they gave birth to, you know, in the last 20 years, so we have to go back to 2000. Start fresh at 2000. Anybody that got citizenship just by being on U.S. dirt has to have that corrected to their parents' citizenship. You can't go back 50 years. It's too late.
Right.
But I think we can easily go back 20 because that's only one generation. And so we go back to 2000, make that 0 year, and then say, okay, you know, and then what you have to do is also seize all their assets. So that people know that if you come to the United States illegally, regardless of what the administration says you can do, we're going to take all your stuff once it gets corrected. So people need to know that.
Right.
That example needs to be very clear just in case Democrats get power again, which they probably will, because they'll steal it from the geldings. Anyway, I know you have to go. So thought for the week, thought for Thanksgiving, thought for anything at all? Rumble?
Mm. Action Radio is going to rumble soon. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the rumble. Yes. And as for now, it's focusing thoughts on having tripped a fan from the turkey and sweet pumpkin pie. So that's where my brain's at. For sure.
What's tryptophan?
Oh, well, you know what? Actually, it's a misnomer because the tryptophan in turkey is actually less than what's in chicken. Sadly, we can't blame the turkey for making us tired. It actually comes from the combination of all the carbs that we eat along with the bird. We stuff ourselves. That's really why we end up getting sleepy. So the whole tryptophan thing
is not tryptophan. It's just food. I mean, I get sleepy after lunch. This is why I don't work in offices. Every time I worked in an office or all through school, I never scheduled classes after lunch in college because I knew I'd be asleep.
Exactly.
So I'd sack out for an hour and then I'd go to class. Or I'd take all morning classes.
Right.
So by the time lunch came around, I was done with classes because I couldn't function. So I'd take 8, 9, 10, 11. I'd take early morning classes and I'd be done by lunchtime. Whatever. It was lunch around 2 or whatever. You know, so that's it. Because after lunch, I'm useless. This is why right now I take a siesta, you know, after the show. Why? Because I'm useless. I've been up since 4 in the morning. You know, I'm wide awake now.
Right, right.
But come noon, after I have dinner, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right,
darling.
Time to go to sleep.
Let's get you out of here.
We will
see you
next
Wednesday.
Week.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Have a good one.
Have fun. Oh, any quotes? Oh, don't forget the Bonnie Appetit.
Yes.
I don't like good stuff.
Absolutely. Yes. So, I mean, there's never been a better time of year if you're looking for Thanksgiving than when it comes to recipes than looking at my cookbooks. I've got whole Thanksgiving meal menus in my books. That's the whole shtick of my cookbooks is they're not your typical cookbook. They're menus, every single page. So you can check me out at Amazon.com. Find me under Bonnie Appetit. I also have my website, www.bonnie-appetit.com. And you can hear me on Saturdays on WFRN.com from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will be doing a special Small Business Saturday celebration this Saturday. So tune in and be encouraged.
Exactly. Fern Radio. Oh, Fern all the time. Fern Radio. WFRN. Fern Radio. Yep. Anyway, John just sent me the psychopathy definition. So from, I guess, American psychiatric folks. It says psychopathy is characterized by a lack of empathy. No kidding. Arrogance, charisma, excessive vanity, lack of guilt, difficulty processing other people's facial expressions, goal-oriented behavior, insensitivity to punishment, and then it says fits all of them. Yeah, so he agrees. Anyway, so I just want to give that to you before you go. So we should expand our psychopathy club.
We should
government psychopaths.
We'll
make it a regular feature.
We'll
and now the government psychopath report.
We'll come up with a special laminated card that they can all have. I am a.
Oh, I need a video. I need a visual.
Card
I need a visual.
Carrying member. Visual. Yes, absolutely. Here's the list, the laminated list, and it keeps growing.
I have to make graphics. I'll have to make graphics for me or something. Okay, I'll talk to Wendy. All right, darling. Get out of here.
There you go.
Go do stuff.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Here is your Action Radio contact and website information. The call-in line is 215-383-3832. Our show site is blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Same link, live and a podcast. Please share all our shows. We have live chat at the bottom of the broadcast page available worldwide. Sign in to your free account and type away. We have an internet Skype line where you can call the show worldwide also. Please see the broadcast page for our Skype name. Call in during the show to get approved. Our bill writing site is writeyourlaws.com, WRITEYOURLAWS, writeyourlaws.com. This is where anyone can write a bill and start the process of it becoming law. My paid and free subscription column is at gregpenglis.substack.com. Please consider a paid subscription of $5 per month or greater. For contributions to Action Radio, please go to givesendgo.com/actionradio. We have over 20 Action Radio Facebook groups. Use the Facebook search window by putting in Action Radio to find our groups. My public email is greg@writeyourlaws.com. Please contact me about advertising on Action Radio and helping our mission of freedom. Thank you for listening. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. Well, that sounds good. Even better. Okay, how about your car? If you want the best service for your vehicle, please talk to James at Florida Stores Automotive, conveniently located at 6715 Caroline Street in the historic district of Milton, Florida, right between the Milton Bakery and the Blackwater Trail. Whether you need an oil change or an entire engine replaced, this is the place. The phone number is 850-623-6651. That's 850-623-6651. Call, ask questions, and get the information you need. Florida Stores Automotive is a full-service automotive shop for both domestic and imports, modern and classic. It is a family-owned business here in our Milton community. Open weekdays from 7:30 to 5 p.m., Florida Stores Automotive is a convenient place to keep your car maintained and on the road. Ask them about Firestone tires and the rotation and maintenance plan. Florida Stores Automotive. I go there. You should too. Action Radio. Part of the ADHD Radio Network. The ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
are back. I got about half an hour before Brian Artis gets here, and I was furiously going over texts. Apparently, I announced it this morning, and people don't realize this, but the shows really are. I mean, I book guests days in advance, sometimes weeks in advance, sometimes months in advance. And I don't really think about a show until the day before because there's so much that goes into every show. You know, until you do a 3-hour show 5 days a week, you don't really realize the amount of prep time and things that you know. And the whole idea is to try and make it look easy. So if it looks easy, then I'm doing my job. But the point is, there's this enormous, you know, brain absorption that goes on. It starts at the end of a show, and I do what I call a brain dump. So at the end of a show, I basically forget everything, including my own name. I mean, everything just goes. I just totally let everything go. Just imagine a giant, you know, toilet going, you know, just, and it's all gone. And so everything out of your head just gets dumped away. Then I start over, and I start learning for the next day's show. And so I start reading articles, and this is why I can bring up things and, you know, memory stuff, and it looks really spontaneous, but and a lot of it is actually, but a lot of it's also, you know, just kind of the spontaneous way this all works. I mean, it's a combination. It's like constant research, but it's fascinating. Anyway, Brian Artis is on today. Brian is a world-renowned, world-known, you know, COVID doc. He's the one that first alerted us to remdesivir and the snake oil, snake venom, and some of the other things going on. And so everybody's texting. I told a couple of friends of mine. Of course, they're all texting and things that I'm here, ask him this, ask him this. It's got all these questions. And people like Dr. Judy Mikovits, so I tell, because we're friends, and some other folks, you know, they're like, yeah, here, do this. I'm like, okay, fine. And I was worried about what am I going to ask Brian. Now I've got like, I got up for about 3 hours worth of shows. But hopefully he'll be on more when we get to Rumble. I think Rumble's going to be fabulous. And John, I know you're listening on the line too, so if you want to call in for this half hour, feel free. In the meantime, I've got something that I've been meaning to get to for a long time. And I was torn between leaving the Republican Party and going independent or just keeping my registration for the sole purpose of being able to vote in the primaries. And the only reason I'm still wavering on that, because I really want to leave the Republican Party, but I really want to vote for Trump in the primary. Not that he needs it, but it's just the more votes, you know, the more support, the more show of support, the better I think it's going to be. And so besides, you know, it's my vote, you know, so I'm still torn between that. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, this is in a J.D. Rucker, one of my favorite authors, November 8th. So this is a couple weeks old. This is how long I've had this lying around. America First Report. And Marjorie Taylor Greene sums up Republicans perfectly. And there's a reason I call them the gelding old party. And so let me just check one thing here. Okay, good. All right. Yep. Oh, there we go. Huh. Yeah, gotta be careful to say the mute button and the end the call button are right next to each other, which is kind of stupid. So I'd make sure that anyway. Okay, we're all right. So here, get to articles. So it'd be funny when I do this with a Zoom thing with the Rumble. I start moving articles around. I don't know how I'm going to read articles on the air. That's going to be interesting. Well, we'll figure it out. Like we do everything else, we just figure it out. So November 8th, J.D. Rucker, Marjorie Taylor Greene writes epic rant revealing the real reason Republicans keep losing elections. Well, we know why they keep losing elections, because they don't stand by the principles that the base wants them to stand by. They say one thing and they do nothing on the other, the do-nothing party. He says, I don't always agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene, especially when she embraced Kevin McCarthy's speakership. Yeah, that was a mistake. But when she's right on an issue, she's very right. He says, if a professional conservative author had written the piece below, it would have been accepted as a strong rebuke against the feckless Republican Party. I love the word feckless. I'm going to do one of my comedy pieces on that. Have you lost your feck? Are you feckless? You need to come to the Action Radio Department of Feck Restoration. Here we can restore your feck. You know, we have a whole department of fecking. You know, so if you ask for action, you call Action Radio, ask for the fecking department. And they might say, what fecking department? Anyway, it's going to be one of those things. It's going to be pretty bad. Just because the word feckless just amuses me, I'm going to have some fun with that. All right, anyway. Back to the article. Republican Party. That continues to play pussyfoot. There we go. I thought you just continued to pussyfoot. I didn't know play pussyfoot was a thing. Anyway, that's one of those expressions you don't hear very often, which is kind of interesting. So they continue to play pussyfoot while Democrats go for the jugular on every issue, which is very true. But this wasn't written by a professional author, as far as we know. It was written by Marjorie Taylor Greene, a congresswoman known for her passion. That passion made many appearances in her rant, which was nearly 1,000 words long. Well, that's not so bad. My articles are 1,500 to 2,000 words long. That's why I don't write as many Substacks. I put out one every couple of weeks. There's a reason. It's because they're long. I actually take time and, you know, research and write them and try and do a good job. Anyway, that's anyway. Maybe I should write short 500-word articles and just BS my way through like everybody else seems to do. Anyway, except this one. He says, and while her perspectives may irk some conservatives, it'll definitely offend rhinos and members on both sides of the uniparty swamp. Okay, see, I don't use the word rhino. You guys all know I use the term transgender Democrat when talking about Republicans, you know, in name only. Yeah. So let me brighten the screen a little bit. And here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene said. She said, Republicans did not lose because of abortion itself. It's how the party handles the issue, or rather does not handle the issue. And there are bigger growing problems. And this is part of, anyway, so he kind of leaps right into a Marjorie Taylor Greene rant on why Republicans lose elections. And it wasn't just the abortion issue. And then she says Republicans are losing Republican voters because the base is fed up with weak Republicans who never do anything to actually stop the communist Democrats. How many times have we said that on the show? How many times have we said that forever on this show, that the Republicans are the do-nothing party, that we're surrounded by do-nothings? In fact, I even made my Biden, you know, my Biden's Dark Winter piece. It's only 45 seconds. But it really did. And I made this before the 2020 election. And I'm thinking to myself, this will never happen. The Republicans, I mean, they're bad, but they're not that bad. You know, I said, the Democrats can steal the election, but they can't steal the whole election. You know, well, I was wrong on that one. Anyway, so I made this. This is my prediction before the 2020 election. And it describes Republicans perfectly. Here you go.
Joe Biden's Dark Winter. No freedom, no liberty, no guns, no representation, no oil, no coal, no nuclear power, no space force, no constitution, no family gatherings, no vacations, just taxes, work, misery, masks, lockdowns, and ever more government. This is what will happen if you let Marxists steal the election. This has been a public service announcement of Action Radio, reminding you it's time to get off your butt and save your country.
And did people? Well, the Republicans didn't. You know, and I'm going to bring this up with Brian Artis in the next hour, that Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz, my congressman, and Dr. Robert Malone, you know, the inventor of the mRNA, the messenger RNA COVID shot, or actually the mRNA shot, all said, well, we need vaccine product liability. Oh, no. If we had vaccine product liability, maybe we could do something about this. And thinking, you hypocrites, all of you hypocrites, Gaetz has had the bill over 2 years. Robert Malone was on the show, what, 8 months ago? He has the bill. I read it to him over the air, sent it to him. Pretty sure I sent it to him. Well, let me just go with, just to be accurate, that I know I talked about it with him on the air. And who was the other person? Marjorie Taylor Greene? I didn't send it to her specifically, but I told her about it when I met her in person when she was at a Matt Gaetz rally. Every one of these people, especially Matt Gaetz, who's had the bill over 2 years, could have filed it any time. Even if he knew it wouldn't pass, he still should have filed it. Hasn't done a word. Hasn't said a word. Hasn't even acknowledged publicly that I sent it to him. I'm sure I'm not the only one. You know, and Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, God bless her. She goes around the country talking about that vaccine bill every chance she gets. Has anybody else picked up on it? Have any of the do-nothing podcasters, you know, all the folks out there like Del Bigtree and, you know, Stu Peters and, you know, Alex Jones, and I could go through the list. I could go through the list of big pundits, you know, Gateway Pundit, for example. Have they written about it? No. Have any of the big media outlets? No. Has Steve Bannon picked it up? No. But they all complain about vaccine product liability, and yet not one of them has picked up our bill and run with it. So you tell me, are they part of the solution or part of the problem? I say they're part of the problem. I have some news for Brian. It's going to shock him when I tell him. Sorry, I've been kind of holding back for a friend of mine. Anyway, that friend is no longer with us, so I don't feel the same, you know, restraint to some well, you'll see when I tell the story. Back to the article. Marjorie Taylor Greene says our voters are not inspired to vote for a party that wants to play nice and refuses to hold accountable communists who locked everyone down during the scandemic, well, that's an interesting word, violated their free speech and censored us on social media, steals elections, weaponizes the government against us, its political enemies, and is persecuting people, rips our border open to the entire world, and floods our country with millions of unknown people and terrorists, funds every foreign war but refuses to defend our own border, and sexually grooms our children to the point where they are cutting off their own body parts to, quote, change their gender, before they are even finished growing up. She's absolutely right. She says the Democrats have turned so far left, they are communists using Marxism to destroy everything good while they enslave America in crushing debt that is driving inflation that is financially ruining Americans as they can't make ends meet and drown in credit card debt. Well, gee, folks, isn't it now about 6 months since we released our constitutional amendment to take away the power of Congress to borrow money that would solve all those problems, all those financial problems, the debt? You know, enslaving America, the crushing credit card debt, because Americans, the value of our money would go up, the prices would go down, that inflation would be reversed, we'd have deflation. All those things are possible with that constitutional amendment. He even gave it to Matt Gaetz in front of a rally several months ago in Jay, Florida. You know what he said? He said, Greg never lets realism get in the way of a good idea. So he says it's a good idea, but it's not realistic. Well, you can't have it both ways. It's either not a good idea or it's not realistic. But if it's a good idea, then why isn't it realistic? You have to make it realistic. In other words, what he said was that Congress is going to refuse to pass good ideas. Well, that's kind of an indictment of Congress, don't you think? But is he going to change that? No, he's not. Back to the article. People are losing hope and can't see a way out and think it's all going to get worse. Very true. Why do you think I created Action Radio? To turn this around. To write the laws to take away the power of these people, to give us the power over government, to give us the freedom, to give us the choice to live our lives as we choose. Greatest freedom for the great and the greatest prosperity for the greatest number. That's my goal. And that's worldwide. That's not just here. That's worldwide. That's why I'm moving to Rumble. We need a lot more visibility. When this thing breaks open worldwide, it's going to be really big. Hang on, folks. Article says, strongly worded letters and tough-talking media hits will not stop the overgrown and out-of-control Democrat-run tyrannical government. Haven't I been saying that? For how long? In fact, we're going to, one of the things I want to do is a friend of mine, we're going to start a new Action Radio group. It's called the Do Something Club. It's about people that are actually doing something. You know, we're doing something. We're actually writing the legislation that fixes the problem, and we're trying to advocate it. Citizen Legislation Day is doing something. You know, Judy Mikovits out there writing a book, Plandemic, talking about how this is all planned, advocating our legislation, doing other things. She's doing something. Most of these people are just talking. They'd rather talk about the problem, make money from it, get their sponsors, than they would actually it's like complaining, you know, is a growth industry. I mean, that's a huge problem. If complaining is a growth industry, we've got a problem. They're making money off complaining, not off solutions. So we need to find a way to make solutions more profitable than complaining. Then this nonsense might stop. All these events out there, Clay Clark's Reawaken America tour. Okay, so once you reawaken America, what do you do with it? Do you do anything? Or you just go to the next town and make more speeches? We're going to take our country back. Really? And then what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. See, that's the problem. We already know. At Action Radio, we know. Pass a legislation that gives the greatest freedom and the greatest prosperity to the greatest number. That's what it's all about. Worldwide. Now, Congress doesn't pass legislation worldwide, but other people in other countries, Marco in the Netherlands, for example, he can do it. He can introduce our bills to his friends and family and other folks and send it to politicians. And, you know, my person I want to interview most from Netherlands, you know, Eva van Dingelbroek, the most beautiful woman on the planet today. Love to get her on the show. Of course, actually, that'll help when we get video. You can see what I'm talking about, right? See, if I call her the most beautiful woman in the world, and you don't see her, then how are you going to know, right? But once we get on Rumble and everybody's on video, you'll see what I mean. God, it was gorgeous. Anyway, she also has a degree in legal philosophy, and I have no idea what that is, but I'm really curious to find out. Okay, so the Republicans are content to write letters. Isn't that interesting? You've heard it too. I wrote a strongly worded letter to the Department of Justice. Well, what happened? Nothing. Oh, so why'd you write the letter? Did you know before you wrote the letter nothing would happen? Well, yes, I did. Well, why'd you write the letter? So that it looked good. Okay, fine. Sodium pentothal, folks, truth serum. So we should have the sodium pentothal report. Give a little truth serum to Congress when they speak. Marjorie Taylor Greene says the Republican Party is tone deaf and weak. They think I don't fit in Washington when in reality I very accurately represent how the Republican voting base feels, and Washington Republicans do not. She's absolutely right. She says Republican voters are energized and cannot wait to vote for President Trump. That's true, because he is addressing almost every issue I just named, and they trust him to fix these insane problems we have, and the American people believe he is the only one that will actually do it. Well, quite honestly, Trump would be better served by adopting our legislation. You know, we've got a bill that would end these prosecutory or these victimizing investigations, because people would have the money to pay for it. They wouldn't need a legal defense fund. We've got a bill that equalizes the power of the person being investigated to the power of the government, because the government has to give them the same amount of money they're spending investigating them. It's called an equity payment. People in being investigated can then apply for and demand and get compliance costs, you know, consultants, lawyers, duplicating fees, paper, transportation, you know, going, you know, travel, all that kind of stuff would be reimbursed under this plan. So it wouldn't cost somebody being accused of a crime by the federal government. Well, until you're convicted, well, that's different. But up until conviction, yeah, you're still innocent, right? So why should you be a victim of an investigation if you're innocent until proven guilty? So until you're proven guilty, it shouldn't cost you anything to be investigated and to defend yourself. That's the whole point of that bill. You know where that's gone in the Republican Party? Nowhere. There's your problem. We have the solutions. But the biggest problem we have is not coming up with solutions. We've got the solutions. The biggest problem we have is getting people to act on our solutions that should act on it, because it's exactly what they're calling for. And yet they don't. There's a disconnect. I don't know why. I'll talk to Brian about that later, too. Article says, every poll shows it to the dismay of Trump-hating establishment Republicans and Trump-deranged Democrats, who are both united in their quest to stop Trump, but more accurately, stop the people. And anyway, so that, in other words, that's from that line before, that the polls show that Trump is wildly popular, which he is. Then it says, just wait until the Republican Party finds out how bad turnout will be once the days of Trump rallies and Trump on the ticket are finally gone. Oh, yeah. Well, that's when I leave the Republican Party, you know, because there's no reason to be a part of a bunch of geldings. I'll be independent. And here's something else, too, that people don't realize. When you hear the term independent, most people think of independence as centrist, between the Democrats on the left and the Republicans on the right. Well, that's not the entire scope of political thought. Okay, the Democrats being socialists and the Republicans being socialists a little bit less is a very narrow band on the left of political thought. Not far over from the Democrats, you've got the actual Marxists, fascists, Nazis, communists, the ones that kill hundreds of millions of people. Not that far over from where the Democrats are now. The Republicans are a little further over. But basically, you've got two leftist parties with varying degrees of leftness. That is not the entire range of politics on the political spectrum. The centrists are way to the right of Republicans. True centrists are to the right of Republicans. The founders are to the right of them. Way to the absolute extreme right to get anarchists. Well, that's no freedom. Because all you're doing is defending your life, you know, shooting looters or trying to steal your property. So in anarchy, there is no freedom. In tyranny, there's no freedom because the government regulates everything you do. You can't do anything. No decisions, no independence. You don't go anywhere. You don't do anything. You don't have any fun. You work and you die. That's tyranny. Anarchy. Everything you own is subject to being stolen. You can be brutalized at any time. There's no social anything. You're all on your own. No freedom in that either. All you're doing is defending yourself 24/7. That's no way to live. So if you look at the political spectrum, on the left we have tyranny, on the right we have anarchy, in the middle we have the centrists. To the left, between centrist and tyranny, we have the Republicans and the Democrats. To the right, between centrists and anarchy, we have the Founding Fathers. We have our founding principles. And we have a graph that I put on every single show. You know, look at the slides. There's a graph that graphs liberty. And we put liberty, you know, basically two-thirds of the way to the right. So liberty is the place where you have only enough laws to protect life, liberty, and property. That's it. Every law that goes above life, liberty, and property heads you to tyranny, and every law less than life, liberty, and property takes you towards anarchy. Well, that's how you define liberty. Freedom is on the left scale, tyranny and anarchy on the bottom scale. So liberty is societal. Liberty is social. Liberty is multiple. Liberty is for the whole country. So you can, the balance point of liberty is where we have only enough laws to protect life, liberty, and property, no more, so you don't slide to tyranny, and no fewer, so you don't slide to anarchy. That's where liberty is. Liberty is the point of maximum individual freedom. Because you can't have freedom without liberty, and you can't have liberty without freedom. They go hand in hand. Freedom is individual. Liberty is societal or statewide or countrywide. That's how it works. See any more comments here? And the last one was John defining psychopaths. We just got it interesting.
So let me finish this, and we'll get Brian here in just a little bit. I'm going to drink a lot of water, too. Maybe I'll play something. I might have some fun playing some more things here. Every poll shows, just wait till okay, here we go. She says the Republicans, they will try their best to pretend to be him, in other words, Trump, but the people will not be fooled by their rhetoric. No more and bold actions will be the only campaign speeches they will turn an ear to even hear. Yeah, this is why the Republican debates are going nowhere, the goober debates. I call them the Republican goobers. Goobers are people that are running because the deep state picked them to run. That's who the government wants to be president. Well, the government wanted Joe Biden to be president. That's why Joe Biden was installed in the White House in a fraudulent election. That's who the government picked. Well, the Republican and Democrat parties are pretty much the government anyway. So they, you know, they pick people that they want that'll maintain the power structure, maintain the establishment, and they give you a very narrow range of people to choose from. Do you mean to tell me that the only people qualified to be president on the Republican side are, who's the New Jersey guy? Chris Christie? Nikki Haley? Tim Scott? I like Tim Scott. Maybe not for president right away. Ron DeSantis? Obama Swampy? Vivek? That's it? That's who we get to choose from? No, I want some more people. I want to choose from, I don't know, Tom Brady and football and General Michael Flynn and who else would be good, Candace Owens. Let's give her about 10 years more experience. Maybe she'd be a good president. I want to choose from people without party. I don't think the party should be in the business of choosing anybody. I want to get rid of the parties, both the Democrat and Republican parties. Get rid of them. Decertify them. They are enemies of freedom because they, by controlling elections, control the laws and control this country. We would be better served if every politician was an independent. Maybe I'll make that my bill for the big bill that I will call it all legislators must be independents. Must be. I could write that before January 7th. Must be. A couple of bills I want to write, actually. Independence. Wouldn't that be fun? See, that way you'd have no majority in Congress to determine who the speaker is. That'll have to vote as independents, right? The speaker could not dish out the committee chairs to only members of their own party because there wouldn't be a party. There couldn't be party membership. Now they could probably dish it out to their friends, but that only goes so far because if all committee chairs were open to a vote and a secret ballot, nobody would know, right? Gets interesting. No one would know who voted for speaker. That might be interesting too. That should be a secret ballot also. What if the attorney general were an elected position during the midterm, so it'd be off year. So the attorney general serves a 4-year term, you know, midterm to midterm. So they cross over presidential terms. Wouldn't that be interesting? So open your minds up, folks. There's a whole lot of stuff to consider here. What else we got? Here we go. She's talking about, she says, they will try their best to pretend to be him. In other words, Trump, but the people will not be fooled by their rhetoric. Then she says, those days will eventually come, you know, when Trump goes away, right? And the Republican Party has only a short time to change their weak ways before they lose the base for years to come. Then she says, on the abortion issue, Republicans lose on abortion because they have for decades allowed Democrats to lie about abortion on every level. Republicans refuse to fight hard against the evil lies of the Democrats who claim, quote, abortion is woman's health care and a right. Well, it's neither health care nor a right. She says it is not. She says abortion is murder. It kills another human being, the most innocent of all. Health care saves lives. Abortion kills lives. Yeah, that's a contradiction. I would say also that nothing can be a right if it affects somebody else. It can only affect you. You can only make a decision to exercise a right if that right extends only from you. Keep and bear arms. You choose to keep and bear arms. No one can tell you not to, and you can't force anybody else to. Right? That's what a right is. A right is something you exercise individually. Well, abortion, because it affects three people, cannot be exercised individually. Therefore, it cannot be a right. And that's just simple logic. Then she says, a baby in its mother's womb is not a parasite, like Democrats say. A baby is God's beautiful creation, and God does not make mistakes and has a plan for every single one of us. Yeah, I would say, God, you took time in revealing it to me. Took a while. Good thing I'm a patient man. Anyway, it says, then she says, abortion does not solve a woman's problem, but having an abortion will leave you scarred for life and regretfully questioning what if for the rest of your life. Well, I'm sure that's true.
She says, motherhood is the most wonderful blessing and most incredible journey of a woman's life. Being a mother is something to be proud of and delight in and yearn for. Yeah, I got news for you. Being a father was pretty cool, too. Raised a kid, loved it, had a blast. She says, abortion is not birth control, but Democrats have normalized it so much that it has become so. Over 63 million people have been murdered in the past 50 years from abortions. Yeah, I find it fascinating that we bring in 15 million illegals, but encourage Americans to have abortions. Anybody see a little hypocrisy there? Then she says, abortion is genocide, and none of their screams are heard when each of them are slaughtered in their mother's wombs. She says, these precious little ones cannot fight, cannot defend themselves, cannot flee the abortionist weapon of choice and they use to brutally murder them. Calling this ongoing genocide health care is an abomination and political lie that Democrats use in order to manipulate women to vote for them and continue the child sacrifices that enable Democrats to maintain power. Wow. There's more. But let me see if I can see what we have for other topic here. She's pretty strong on this stuff. She says, Republicans must stop being afraid to stand up to Democrats' disgusting lies about abortion. That is true. When Republicans boldly speak the truth and present solutions to help women in crisis into motherhood, then we will win on this issue. Many voters vote for candidates and the party that offer solutions to help to solve the problems people are facing. Well, that goes for Action Radio. I mean, how many times have we offered solutions? Like every bill we write is a solution to a problem. Hopefully it's the best solution. If not, then we amend, we correct. You know, that's why we do it. We send our bills to the legislature because that's the constitutional process. We elected officials to process, to investigate, to hold hearings on, to make sure that we're putting the best bills forward. And the reason we have to write the bills in the first place is because they're not writing good bills. They're getting their bills from corporate lobbyists, from different nations. You know, people are paying for the legislation in Congress. And even with that, I still want Congress to look at our bills because that's the constitutional system. I'm not trying to change the constitutional system. I'm just trying to put better bills that go to Congress and then bring every political force I can to have them passed. That's the difference. Huh. She says, too offensive? No, not for America and definitely not for Democrats. She says, remember that they are the party, in other words, the Democrats, that supports men dressing in women's clothes and provocatively showing their genitals to children during street parades or story time, and then throw money at them or encourage their children to tip the monsters themselves. Here we go. She says, the Republican Party needs to boldly offer the truth, the solutions, and most importantly, fight with everything we have to stop communism in America and protect the most innocent among us. Truth wins when it shines brightly and is not covered or dimmed. We must powerfully declare the truth. Our nation's survival depends on it. She's right. She's absolutely right. So now what do you do? And that's the question. So the question that I have, and I will continue to ask, is now that we know what the problem is, why is it so hard to implement a solution? That's where we stand right now. We know what the problems are. We know exactly what the problems are. But the Republicans lose because they continue to refuse to offer the solutions. They don't want to be the party of, cocktails and elegant parties. They don't want to be the party of, I really can't do that. Nope, sorry. Nope, not me. No, I'm not going to take a stand. That's who they are. All right, I'll play a couple of things here right before Brian gets here. It should be any time now. If he does, I'll stop my commercials and come right back. So I'll be right back. Oops, there we go.
Do you know your way around healthcare, insurance, pharmacies, surgery, alternative treatments and choices? I don't. Which is why I'm so glad I met Priscilla Romans, had her on Action Radio, and learned about health patient advocacy. She is the founder of Great Care. And now as an affiliate of Great Care, we are proud to offer through our discount code, WYL, which stands for Write Your Laws, a 10% discount. Great Care saves you both time and money. They provide medical advocacy, consultation, advice, and recommendations nationwide. Their website is greatcare.com. That's GRAITHcare.com. You can email them at greatcare.adm@gmail.com or call them at 469-864-7149. That's 469-864-7149. Great Care, better health through better knowledge and advocacy.
We'll be right back. This is Greg Penglis for Strikeforce, your source for pure energy. Strikeforce is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. You make your energy drink yourself. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strikeforce, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code, WYL, to the discount code window at checkout. WYL comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strikeforce is at StrikeforceEnergy.com. That's StrikeforceEnergy.com. Start your engine.
This is Greg Penglis. So what is Action Radio? It is a radio show with its own citizen legislature. That's you, the listener. It is a fully interactive system of listeners, expert guests, social media, writing bills, legislator input, bill submission, lobbying, and citizen action. Action Radio is the future of talk radio using all the available technology in one completely integrated new system. You are listening to Action Radio Online with Greg Penglis. The webpage for all Action Radio shows and podcasts is blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Please share our show with all your friends and family, both nationally and internationally. The guiding principle of Action Radio is this: we the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed.
Dangerously cool.
So we're back, and I'm just going to wait for Brian to call in now, so he might have another interview. Might be if there's any indication, if there's anything like my interviews, then I always keep guests longer because I always have more to talk about. So let me give you a little background. So Dr. Brian Artis started off a chiropractor, med school, and it's just a fascinating person. He's just, I start speaking about him, and there he is. That's how things work around here. So, you know, ask and you shall receive. So let's get to our guest of the day. Dr. Brian Artis. So as I was just telling folks, Brian's chiropractor, and we'll hear his med school stories. I was watching a podcast of his. It's fascinating, you know, about what they don't teach you in med school. You know, it's basically, drugs and all this other kind of stuff. They don't actually make you well. It's fascinating. So we'll get into that. We'll get into other things too. But Brian was on with us for 18 weeks of the World's Greatest Doctors panel. And it was an amazing collection. Dr. Judy Mikovits was there, Ben Thorpe, Ben Marble. We had folks drop in, Julian Northrup. It's just an incredible gathering of people. And then everybody got busy and left. Brian, do you remember that?
I do remember that. Yep. It was an extremely busy time, but I was surprised we were able to pull it off for 18 weeks straight.
Yeah, well, I've got the record of it, too. So anyway, let's give you a round of applause. Everything you do. So here's the first thing. Whoop, is that your dog? Hello?
No, there's a dog. There's a dog by me. That's funny.
I thought it was my dog.
No.
I'll be
that was funny.
That's hysterical. Well, just coming right after the round of applause, have I got an extended sound effect here? Did something get crossed over? I don't think I have a dog sound effect. Anyway, that's okay. But the amount that we were able to accomplish and just that gathering. Now I'm moving to Rumble, and so we'll be visual. So everybody will see your smiling face and beard. Still got a beard?
Yeah, that'll be exciting. I'll have to shower and make sure I look pretty on those days.
No. Wear dirty T-shirts. That's what I'm going to do. I've got all these crazy T-shirts from my travels. I'm going to look like, hey, listen, if Steve Bannon can look like he just woke up 5 minutes before airtime, you know, the rest of us can't do. He does. He looks terrible.
Right. So that's
Steve
Bannon. Yep, I hear people say, if he can pull off being a successful laser with a podcast and looking like a homeless guy, then anybody can do it.
Now, see, this is where content counts, so hopefully I'll go on that as well, because obviously I'm not going to be going on good looks. I've got that, what do they say, a face for radio, but it's going to be an interesting experience. Well, let's talk about that. I mean, I want to ask you questions you don't get all the time.
Sure.
So this is what makes life much more interesting. Do you notice the difference between a radio show like this, where it's just audio, where it goes directly into your brain, there's no visual distraction or stimulation, as opposed to a video podcast? Because we're going to be moving, so this might be something interesting for me to know. What do you think?
No, for sure. But do I see anything different between the two? My experience with radio shows and TV shows and interviews or podcasts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, video is very different. But I actually know tons of people appreciate just the audio versions of things, and lots of people are active and not able to sit down and watch stuff. So I personally love every outlet that allows us to get the word out. I mean, the video is great, but it's still the audio that's actually making the most impression. So what we hear, the words we hear, what we articulate, I think radio is still super powerful. Video does some more, stimulation. But, I appreciate both and all mediums.
Do you get different questions between a purely radio show and a video show?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest difference is I often, as I am explaining the answers to questions that are being presented, I can have so much research, so many presentations that I can share my actual research visually with the audiences through screen share. It's about the only real thing you don't get to see through the radio and through radio experience. My favorite thing I say all the time, I am a show and tell doctor. I like to tell you and show you. So it's kind of hard through the radio to do that, but the power of video, that's where I think the power comes in the interviews that we do, is not only, and I do this all the time on stages every weekend, I'm somewhere in the world doing presentations, but the power to show people what it is you're confessing, articulating, there's a lot of power behind that. It's one thing to say something, it's another one to show you. Look, you want to see it? Here's the evidence. And I'll give you an example. So I was at a medical conference last weekend in San Antonio, and I was asked to do presentations to assist these medical doctors in keeping their hours or continuing education hours for relicensure each year. So I went down there last week and did a presentation about 50 medical doctors. Judy Mikovits is in the room as a presenter. Lee Merritt was there. It was a great group. While I was there, I actually put up on the screen. I said, I'm about to give a presentation here. I was the only chiropractor there. I said, I'm about to give a presentation to everybody. I said, who can name the two people who just won the Nobel Prize for creating the mRNA vaccine? And nobody could answer. And I said, great, would you like me to show you? So then I put up on the screen.
Well, Andrew Malone was one of them, wasn't it? Wasn't he?
No. So I put it up on the screen. I said, I put it up on the screen. I said, here's the two people that just won the Nobel Prize in medicine for creating the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine. And their names are on the screen, on the media articles, many articles. And I said, here it is.
Sorry.
Yeah, there's two doctors. They're at the University of Pennsylvania, and their names are Drew Wiseman and Cataline Carrico from Hungary, who also works at the University of Pennsylvania. So I put it up on the screen, and I said, how many of you have ever heard these names? And no one raised their hands, and I said,
Wait. University of Pennsylvania, isn't that where the Biden Center is? Aren't they connected directly to China?
Oh, of course they are. In fact, they're actually directly connected to Donald Trump. Donald Trump graduated from the University of Pennsylvania. The Operation Warp Speed money went to U of Penn, his alumni, to pay these two the royalties, the commissions to actually finalize their mRNA vaccine. So anyway, there's a big connection to Biden, big connection to Donald Trump, to University of Pennsylvania, and these two individuals that created the COVID-19 vaccines. And I did say to the medical doctors there, I said, guess who must be really angry that they didn't get the Nobel Prize for their invention they've continued to lie to us about for the last 3 years? I said, anybody think Robert Malone's embarrassed that he wasn't recognized as the inventor of the mRNA vaccine?
That's why I mentioned his name. Yeah, and he's been on the show.
Yeah.
So, but he invented it. So how come he wasn't rewarded? Well, I mean, it's purely political anyway.
Well, it's true. He's continued to say he's invented these, but I've been in rooms with him being filmed live on camera, and I've looked at him and said, you want to explain to the world or you want me to do it? Why do you keep lying to the world, telling them that you're invented the mRNA vaccine? I said, are you going to open your mouth and explain to the world why you keep lying to people? I did that a year ago. In the Bollinger's home, in their documentary, they filmed at a round table. It was me, Peter McCullough, Robert Malone, Stu Peters, and Sean Stone. And I said, when are you going to stop lying to the world? And would you like to clear it up right now? Why does you keep lying and telling people you invented mRNA technology when you didn't? And he wouldn't say a word. In fact, the only thing he said at the end of the interview was, I even kept telling him, hey, look in the camera. Tell them, why it is you keep lying to people? I'd like to know, why do you keep lying to people, telling them that you've invented mRNA technology? It's weird. And I said, well, if he's not going to tell you, I'll just look in the camera, and I told the whole world in front of Stu, Peter, the Bollingers. I said, just so y'all know, the two people that created the mRNA vaccines are actually Drew Wiseman and Kathleen Carrico. They're at the University of Pennsylvania. And the reason why this is important is because Kathleen Carrico and Drew Wiseman, which I showed these medical doctors this weekend, I said, how many of you heard a claim from this chiropractor 2 years ago and it watched the Water documentary that there was snake venom in the COVID-19 vaccine? And they all raised their hands, and I said, how many of you ever looked into it? No one kept their hands up. And I said, all right, well, now I'm showing you. They just won the Nobel Prize. The only time anybody ever heard these people's names is when I told you who these people were 2 years ago. Y'all continued to follow Malone instead of looking at the real criminals. And I said, these two people, I'm about to show you why it is I said there's snake venom in the COVID-19 shot. And the reason why I said that is y'all were looking at the wrong guy. Y'all were distracted by a guy named Robert Malone, looking at him as the creator of the mRNA technology, and he is not the guy. And I told y'all are looking at the wrong person. If you want to know what's in the shots causing all these VAERS reported injuries, go look at Drew Wiseman and Kathleen Carrico's research studies. They tell you in their creation of the mRNA vaccine starting in 2009, they write in all their research studies that they're being paid by the NIH to make mRNA gene therapy vaccines. And they state in every paper since 2009, Greg, that they use snake venom phosphodiesterase to cut the RNA or DNA of the mammal to do their mRNA gene editing technology. So that's what I said in the Watch the Water documentary. So this weekend in San Antonio, when I'm doing this review with medical doctors, I'm like, I'm going to show y'all why it is I said there's snake venom in these shots. So I pull up Drew Wiseman and Kathleen Carrico's studies from 2009, 11, 15, 12. And I'm like, look, every single paper they tell you to do mRNA injections, you have to use snake venom phosphodiesterase to do it. And I showed the words.
What is it about snake venom that allows you to separate or cut or cleave or whatever the word is, parts of messenger RNA?
Yeah, so they said, anyway, in the papers they state that snake venom phosphodiesterase is effective at cutting mRNA genetic material that is capped on either end. So take a piece of DNA or RNA, which is genetic material, and cap each end with something called pseudouridine. And they said the reason why this works well is only snake venom phosphodiesterase will cut it, even when you have pseudouridine capped on either end. Now, this is only in relationship to mRNA vaccines. These things are not stable. They've never been found to be effective. pH, temperature destroys it. It's very fragile once you take mRNA out of a human body or out of a body. So they've never been successfully able to create a stabilized version of mRNA for injections without terrible outcomes in animal studies. So in 2009, they started capping the ends of mRNA or genetic material or RNA with pseudouridine so that when they inject it inside of you, the combined snake venom phosphodiesterase is effective at cleaving. Even if you put this pseudouridine thing on there that makes it more stable, snake venom still evolutionarily is potent enough to damage the RNA or cut the RNA or DNA inside of you and that they're injecting inside of you. Snake venom evolutionarily destroys genetics.
Why do they want to cut the – if they're making the, – they're building the mRNA, which is manufactured. I don't know exactly how they do it, but they combine the chemicals. They make a genetic code, like a binary computer code, and then they match that to the components of DNA, you know, and then they make this RNA stuff. Why do they want to break it up inside your body?
Yeah, their whole goal is to actually get your body to manufacture something called a genetic sequence, which is – a spike protein gene in the scenario of mRNA vaccines. So the goal is to get whatever the code for the gene, they want it inside your cells combining with your DNA.
Okay. I mean, this all sounds very familiar. But it just, you know, like I say, I'm curious as to, you know me, I like to know the exact reasons without getting too biochemical like Judy Mikovits does, because then she loses us. But it's just the why.
Of course.
And now it's the why question as to why. And here's another question, too. If this is, if you put some of this stuff in your body and it teaches every time your cells replicate, they're replicating with this new information, why would you need more than one shot? Why would you need more than just a tiny little bit of this stuff to start the process to go through all your cells, which I don't know how long it would supposedly take. But if you have extra shots, if you're injecting the same material that's teaching your body the same thing, why would you need extra ones? That doesn't make any sense. Because the first shot is already teaching your body how to make it.
Yeah.
Greg, that is a perfect use of logic.
Why not my moments?
That's right. So that is a perfect example of logic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to explain to you exactly why they said you had to have more than one.
Okay.
I held a conference here in Dallas, Texas in September 8th and 9th called Healing for the Ages. And the actual subtitle of my conference was Healing in the Age of Bioweapons. And in this two-day event, we actually showed the entire world why there is two different shots. For the first time in history, they said the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines had to be two shots within a two-week period to consider the person fully vaccinated. Never before in history have they ever said you had to get more than one shot to be considered vaccinated for anything. The flu,
yeah.
Polio, measles,
one shot
HIV, it didn't matter.
Create the immunity, right?
That's right. Everything was always one shot. Now all of a sudden you got two? Well, I'm going to tell you what's actually in the shots. Okay, so first thing I want to know, Greg, I'm going to throw out a few examples and scenarios, and I want you to tell me, was it true or false? All right, so Greg, they told us that COVID-19, this virus, that we could prevent spread of this virus by standing 6 feet apart. Is that true?
No. Everybody was.
That was false,
I had
right?
a congressional report from this guy from this Japanese pharmaceutical company who briefed Congress, both Democrats and Republicans separately, of course, because they're different parties, that said everybody's going to get exposed to this. I also know it's an aerosol that can travel 200 feet. I even did a thing on this as one of my reports, one of my little satire pieces. So that you can spread it through an entire office building in about 2 minutes through a central air system.
Exactly right. All right. So was it true when they said 6 feet apart is plenty of space to keep you from getting sick? Was that true? So that was a false claim. They also stated that wearing a mask would prevent you from getting this virus. Was that true?
Well, of course not, but we've talked about that. Give me a tough question. Come on, Brian, give me a good one. I used to read the directions on the box. I read the directions on the box. It says this does not stop viruses.
That's right.
You know,
and then
I read the study that the guy that came up with 6 feet, those were tuberculosis droplets. They weren't even an aerosol.
All right, so you've heard claims that they've said were fact, which were actually not true. They also told us, Greg, that PCR tests were accurate and could determine whether or not you had a coronavirus. Was that true?
No.
Or was that false?
No, it's false, because the person who invented it said it was never to be used as a diagnostic.
Very true. All right, you're great, Greg. You're actually astute and awake. This is great. All right, so you now know they have had multiple claims
right.
of what they claim to be truth scientifically, but they're actually falsehoods. All right. So let's give you another one. They also said if you got vaccinated for COVID, you wouldn't get COVID. That's what they told you. Joe Biden actually said this every time. Just get the shot.
Oh,
no,
it's just the opposite. No, the COVID shot is a marketing device to give people COVID so they can sell more COVID shots.
Yeah, so was it true when they said if you get COVID, if you get the vaccine, you won't get COVID? Was that true?
No, of course that's not true. No, of course not.
Okay. Give me a tough one.
Give me one I have to think about.
I will.
Okay.
So then they also said if you get COVID once, you won't get it a second time. Was that true?
It's interesting because I got immunity. I had COVID before we knew what it was, and I've never had anything since except one little cold. My immunity actually improved after COVID. So they say you can't get – I know you can get it again, but what I'm really curious about is the circumstance. Is it a suppressed immune system or something else? Or is it a variation?
Yeah, exactly.
I know the variations come from – there's something – I forgot what the term is, but there's a term that when you have a COVID shot, you actually your body is geared for that one particular strain, but it allows other strains to come up. So it actually creates mutations. And I forgot what that thing is, what that word is.
Yeah, very good. All right, so it was not true that you could get it once and never get it again, but that was a claim by some MDs, but that was not true or accurate.
Wait a minute. Hold on a sec. For those of us that have natural immunity, now we're not talking about the COVID shot, but if you have natural immunity, okay, so I got COVID before I knew what it was. I've got the shows to prove it. I sound like hell. I had the worst cough in the world for 2 weeks, couldn't sleep, lying down. you know, but when it was done. I took 2 days off work, relaxed for a couple of days, and I was fine. I didn't know about hydroxychloroquine or quercetin, and I hadn't talked to Dr. Zelenko yet. None of that stuff had happened. So I realized after I heard about COVID, I had already had COVID. I said, great, I'm immune now. So I never wore a mask anyway, just because those things are stupid. But went in public, you know, drove around constantly, windows down, met with people, never distant or anything. I didn't care about any of that stuff because I already had it. It's like flu. Once you got it, you got it. So right. Is there a difference between, here's a question though. So is this true, Brian, that if you got over COVID using your natural immunity, can you get it again?
Oh yeah, for sure you can.
Okay. Is it a strong?
And I'll explain why.
Is it a variation of the original? Because the original strain died out, what, late 2020, early 2021? It was already gone. So they were vaccinating for something that had already gone, right?
Right. So this is to help answer this question. So have you ever known anybody to ever get a cold before COVID, a cold,
mm-hmm.
more than once?
Oh yeah, but every cold's different though. So yes.
Exactly right. So you have, and what are cold viruses called? What are they by definition?
Rhinoviruses? They're viruses. They're coronaviruses, right?
They are coronaviruses. Very good. All right. So can people get coronaviruses once and then get them again?
Sure.
Of course they can. You can get a coronavirus more than once. So yes, there can be variations. There can be different coronaviruses that you can be exposed to. You can get sick more than once from a flu virus, from a coronavirus. Absolutely. So you can absolutely get any of these infections more than once. So that mm-hmm. was not true that if you got it once, you would never get it again. I haven't.
No, that makes sense.
All right. So,
like I say, but I, you know me, I have to get into the details. And the details are I would differentiate between those who got COVID shots and got it again.
Oh, for sure.
Because I think the people – now, isn't it true that the people that got COVID the most times had COVID shots?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely, 100%. Those who got vaccinated got COVID more often than anybody else.
So the COVID shot causes COVID.
Oh, absolutely. All right. So
that's why it's a marketing.
So the reasons for these very well-answered questions by Greg on Action Radio, the reason why he knew all these answers, which is phenomenal, is because he stayed educated and informed and had common sense and logic in his mind. In his brain that he's been gifted with have lost for some reason.
Well, wait a minute.
Greg, I was establishing falsehoods that we were told were truths scientifically, but they were not. So these are multiple of these. So Greg, we have all been told that these COVID-19 vaccines by Pfizer and Moderna are this new technology. We just gave a Nobel Prize to the people that created it, Drew Weissman mm-hmm. and Kathleen Carrico. We have been told that these are called mRNA vaccines. Now, by definition that they keep claiming, these are called mRNA vaccines. What would you believe might be in these shots that they are calling mRNA vaccines? Would you I want you to tell me, what do you think would be in those shots? Just by the name mRNA vaccine.
Until you asked me this question, I would assume that an mRNA vaccine actually had some mRNA in it. But I think you're going to tell me that it doesn't. I think you can tell me there's no such thing in there. How am I doing?
That's right. You're doing great. All right, so we were told stand 6 feet apart, you won't get COVID. That ain't true. You were told to wear a mask, you won't get COVID. That isn't true. You were told the mask would trap COVID. That wasn't true. You were told the vaccines would prevent COVID. That was not true. Then you were told it would prevent worse outcomes, so get it anyway. That wasn't true either. So anyway, so you just lie to over and over and over. PCR tests work when they really don't, and they're fraudulent, and never test for a virus ever or confirm one per the inventor, who also won a Nobel Prize. He said, my device, the PCR test, does not confirm viruses of any kind.
Yep.
I mean, he said that way before they ever said it was good. Anyway, so all of these are falsehoods. All of these are lies. They're deceits. Imagine mm-hmm. now to learn that when they tell you these are mRNA vaccines, that there's no mRNA in the vaccines. Isn't that odd? It just falls in line with all the other lies.
That's breaking news for me. I had not heard that there was actually no mRNA in the mRNA vaccine.
Phenomenal.
Well, wait a minute. Now, this is where the Federal Trade Commission, which believes in truth, which actually enforces truth in labeling. Okay. In other words, if you say, you know, safe and effective, it actually has to actually be safe and effective. Of course, that doesn't apply to anything from Big Pharma. But, you know, like mouthwash. Remember, what was it? What was the horrible tasting one? It wasn't Lavoris, it was the other one. No, it wasn't Scope. It was something that was Listerine. Okay, so Listerine. Remember Listerine? Okay, this is a great case. Maybe you can put this, include this in your many chats. That Listerine obviously came from Dr. Lister. They tried to co-opt his name, you know, as one of the founders of sterilization, things like that. And they used to say it used to prevent colds. Well, it didn't. So the Federal Trade Commission made them do 2 or 3 years worth of ads saying, although this does not prevent colds or lessen their severity, you know, it does kill germs on contact, yada, yada, yada. Okay, well, shouldn't Big Pharma have to do the same thing? If there's no MRSA, shouldn't there be a disclaimer? And this would be a great piece of legislation, okay? This would be a perfect one to go to the Federal Trade Commission and say, wait a minute, you did this for Big Pharma. You put big fat warning labels on every cigarette package. The Surgeon General has determined that these can cause lung cancer. Well, where's the big fat warning label on every vial? Of course, nobody sees the vials, right? That's why they don't show them to them. They don't show them the inserts either. That's a whole other story, right? They don't show them the stuff, and yet they're – you know, there should be a big fat warning saying this mRNA vaccine contains no mRNA.
That's right. Okay, so if there's no mRNA in there and it is breaking FCC trade guidelines, which I believe it absolutely does, I would consider this false advertising and non-disclosure of ingredients, obviously, at a bare minimum. All right, so consumers should have the right to know what in the world they are having consumed that they are selecting and being told and coerced and bullied to actually consume, which are the shots. So if there's no mRNA in the shots, my next question would be for you, Greg. If there's no mRNA in the shots, which there is not,
right.
NIH documents tell you there is none in these COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. All right, so if there's no mRNA in them, my next question for you, Greg, would be if they don't put mRNA in the shots, what do you think an mRNA vaccine injected into a person called an mRNA vaccine, what do you think it should actually maybe create in the human body? If it doesn't have mRNA in it and you're calling it an mRNA vaccine, the only next assumption I would have is, I guess they're injecting this stuff into you to create mRNA. I mean, they have the word mRNA in there for some reason.
Right. Like, and that's where the
why do you have mRNA written on there?
But wait a minute, you said earlier that the there is mRNA, but it's being, you know, broken up by snake venom. It's being rearranged to create snake proteins. What am I missing?
In the shots, in the recipes, in the research studies by Drew Wiseman and Kathleen Crico, they say they use snake venom phosphodiesterase to cleave RNA that has been capped with pseudouridine. Now, they tell you that over and over.
It releases the RNA in your body?
Yep. So what they're telling you is snake venom phosphodiesterase will cut RNA. Now, just so you know, there is no mention in their papers about mRNA. They only talk about RNA and DNA. So they are cutting with snake venom phosphodiesterase your RNA. Follow me? When I said there's no mRNA in these shots, they have genetically altered pieces of RNA that are capped with something called pseudouridine to make it more stable. But the snake venom phosphodiesterase they're adding, it actually still cuts the RNA, even though pseudouridine keeps an enzyme in the human body from destroying it. And that substance in the human body is called RNase. But they said they use snake venom phosphodiesterase in the shot to cleave the RNA that's included in the shots because it will go past the pseudouridine that blocks the human body's God-given enzyme called RNase, which destroys foreign RNA. They said snake venom phosphodiesterase will go past the pseudouridine and cut it. Where in their selected genetic sequences, they want to cut your DNA and RNA. So there is no reference of mRNA. So at the Healing for the Ages conference, I showed the whole world that on the NIH's website right now, they state, we did not put any part of the virus inside the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. That's their own words. And they state, we didn't put any part of the virus in the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. And I quote, they said, this is why we can say confidently, there is no way you're going to get COVID from our vaccines. Because they didn't put any of the virus in the COVID-19 vaccine, so you can't get the virus to get COVID. Follow me?
Well, that means it's not a vaccine, by definition, a vaccine has the inert genetic material so your body can recognize it and build up immunity to it, right?
Isn't that odd that they didn't put the one thing they're telling you to get the vaccines for to prevent?
Oh, then how do people get more COVID after they've had a COVID shot?
Exactly right. So then my question to everybody is when I show them these documents, I go, isn't that interesting? NIH publishes they didn't put the virus in any of their COVID-19 mRNA shots. So then my next question was, what were they trying to prevent? And then what did they put in there? If they weren't trying to prevent a virus from these vaccines, what were they injecting inside of you? So there's a second document on the NIH's website right now called Understanding mRNA Vaccines for Lay People to Read, like Action News audiences that aren't the medical professionals. So if you go read that document, it actually says, we selected the spike protein gene as our vaccine candidate. And then they say these words, Greg, and everybody needs to pay attention to this because no one knew this. This might be news for your Action News Radio. They state right now that the NIH said we selected the spike protein gene of COVID, which was confirmed by DNA experts in three different countries. DNA experts did DNA analysis of the spike proteins of COVID and said every single one of them are cobra venom proteins, king cobra venom proteins from the snake, or crate snake venom proteins called bungarotoxin. That is all they've ever said. It continues to be reconfirmed in China, France, and Italy by DNA experts. The spike protein gene of COVID are two snake venom neurotoxins from two snakes. So now the NIH is telling you they're taking these venom proteins that they call spike proteins, and they state that to make these vaccines, they selected the spike protein gene as the vaccine candidate. They synthetically manufactured the spike protein gene, and then they inserted it into what is called a DNA plasmid. And those DNA plasmids, they put in the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine. Now, this is important. Notice they didn't say RNA plasmid. They didn't say mRNA plasmid. They said DNA plasmid. They did not put any mRNA in these shots. They did not put any RNA in these shots. They put what are called DNA plasmids. But they are calling these vaccines mRNA vaccines. And I want to explain to your audiences what they show you they did. They put DNA plasmids with snake venom proteins in them called cobra toxin and bungarotoxin. They put these in the COVID-19 shots per the NIH, and they stated in reference a study in 2003 where they took cobra toxin, king cobra venom protein, which was found by three different countries' DNA experts to be the spike protein of COVID. They took in 2003 cobra toxin, and they took that venom protein and cut it in two pieces. And then they took those two pieces, and they put half of the cobra toxin into a circular piece of DNA they engineered in a lab called a DNA plasmid. They inserted half of the cobra venom into a plasmid's DNA circle. Then they took another DNA plasmid and put the other half of the cobra toxin into that plasmid. And then in 2003, 20 years ago, they injected one of these DNA plasmids that had half of the cobra venom in it. They injected that into animals, and they wanted to know, does the animal manufacture, this is not a joke, Greg, listen to Action News Radio, they took these DNA plasmids in 2003 that had half of king cobra venom in it, and they injected it into animals. And their question was, if we inject half of cobra venom in a plasmid, a piece of DNA, circular piece, inject that into mammals, will the mammals' cells draw in this circular piece of DNA that now has an instruction in the DNA, circle piece, little hula hoop of DNA? When the cells of the mammal draw this inside of itself, will the DNA of the mammal convert the DNA plasmid into a complete protein of mRNA king cobra venom? This is what they stated. We want to know, will it convert it into mature mRNA cobra venom? And then they injected it into animals, and they waited, and nothing happened. Then they took the other DNA plasmid, and they injected it into other animals that had the other half of cobra venom in it. And you know what happened, Greg? Nothing.
Nothing.
But the question was, when we inject the other DNA plasmid with the other half of the king cobra venom, will the mammal's cells draw in this piece of DNA, combine it with this mammal's DNA in its nucleus, and then will that cell start manufacturing mature mRNA cobra toxin? And Greg, when they injected the DNA plasmid with the other half of cobra toxin, nothing happened to the animals. So then they killed the animals, took their blood work, and wanted DNA experts to see if they could find any mature mRNA of cobra venom inside the mammals. They didn't find any evidence of any mRNA cobra toxin being manufactured. So this is what they did in 2003 and the second half of their study, Greg. They took DNA plasmids with half of the cobra toxin, the spike protein of COVID. They took half in one DNA plasmid, put the other half of the king cobra venom, they cut in half, put it in another DNA plasmid, and guess what they did? They injected one of the DNA plasmids with half the cobra venom into the mammal. And then they waited a few days, and they injected the other DNA plasmid that had the other half of the cobra venom protein in it, and they injected that into the animal. And their next question was, what happens when we inject them with two parts of the cobra venom suspended in two different DNA plasmids and do it over several days? If we inject both of them, will the mammal's own bodies, cells, take these DNA pieces and combine through what they call splicing? Will the mammal's body splice the two pieces of cobra venom together to make a mature, complete mRNA of the cobra venom toxin? And guess mm-hmm. what happened, Greg? When they did both of them
no.
on different days, every single animal died within 6 hours. And when they opened up the bodies of the animals and checked their blood was full of king cobra venom mRNA. So their
was it
body,
blood clot?
The mammals.
Was it clotting like the clots we find, the big clots that they discovered, the morticians
exactly
discovered?
Exactly right. Yep, they found myocarditis, blood clotting, and death to all the animals.
Hmm. So it does work as designed.
I'm
not being ironic here. I mean, it's working exactly as designed, yeah. This is fascinating. I got people texting me all kinds of questions for you because, like, this is what happens. It's hard for people to call in sometimes. So I'll get to those in a second. Judy's got the first one, I think. But this is fascinating. Now, Alex Jones, I remember – you know what this is? This is a binary chemical weapon. This is like a nerve gas where they have two parts of the nerve gas that separately, they don't do anything. But you put them together and they're lethal. Epoxy.
Exactly.
Epoxy, for example. All right? You take the two chemicals of epoxy, you know, but they don't work until you mix them together. Alex Jones, I don't know how many years ago he did this, maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago. I think it was actually right before COVID. He actually had a report. He said there's some kind of binary weapon coming out in the form of a vaccine. He didn't know what it was, okay? And I remember him saying that. As soon as the COVID shot came out, I thought, I bet you this is it. I just had that feeling because I get feelings about all this kind of stuff. And I said, this is a binary weapon. There's two parts to it. And so I wanted to let you tell the whole story, but I think I didn't want to jump to the conclusion, but this is a binary weapon. And so you have one plasmid, which doesn't do anything. And then if you inject or another animal gets the other plasmid, doesn't do anything, just like you said. But if you put them – now, can you put the – how far apart can you put these together? So can you put the – can like the first plasmid be in the regular shot and the second plasmid be in the boosters? Is that how they're doing it? Or how are they doing it? Is the first shot
– no.
Or the second shot is the first shot different? So if you get a COVID shot
– oh, yeah. So let me just take you through through a researcher's mind. Okay.
Okay.
So as me, I'm actually reading this study from 2003, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. So the first thing I learned is from the NIH recently, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Like 6 months ago, I'm like, wait a minute. They didn't put any virus in it. They put DNA plasmids. They put the venom spike proteins into the plasmid. And then the NIH is showing you what the plasmid looks like, and they're telling you we put that in the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. Then I wanted to know. My very next question, Greg, was this. All right, well, I know from DNA experts that they have figured out the spike protein gene was venoms of snakes, king cobra and crate snake venom called bungarotoxin. Cobra toxin, bungarotoxin. All I wanted to know then, my very next question was, have researchers ever done mRNA research using cobra toxin in DNA plasmids? Why would I not ask that question? That's what they're telling you these shots are. So I went like this. Let's just see if they did it. The very first thing that pops up is this 2003 study where they took king cobra venom, cut it in half, called two pieces of cobra toxin, put part of it in a DNA plasmid, put the other part in another DNA plasmid, injected each individually. It did nothing. When they did it separately and injected both of them into the human or the mammal, the mammal's own cells, mammal cells, Greg, the cells drew in the plasmids, splice together the two pieces of cobra toxin, and then spit out of the mammal cells mature alpha cobra toxin mRNA. And it killed all of the animals as if they had been bit by a king cobra.
Well, yeah, it's the same effect. You know, you get envenomated or whatever is another. But it's the same. You know, it's interesting that a cobra fang, you know, and a needle are pretty much the same thing, right? They inject directly into your bloodstream.
Oh, the actual hypodermic needle was made from the design of a fane.
Yeah, okay, so this makes perfect sense. All right, so we know how
right,
they're injected.
So this
we know
the,
how this,
so let's
yeah.
keep, so,
go ahead.
So I'm going to
no,
keep this going so people learn,
sure.
okay? All right, so all right. My very next question was this. All right, well, in 2003, 20 years before the COVID-19 vaccine mRNAs come out by Drew Wiseman and Kathleen Carrico, 20 years earlier, they proved their concept that you could take DNA plasmids separately on separate days, and the cells of the mammal would combine them naturally to form and create a mature venom that would mm-hmm. actually kill the animal. And it did. It killed 100% of the animals, Greg, in 6 hours. 80% of them died within 6 minutes of the plasmids being injected.
That's about the same for a cobra bite, right? About 6 minutes?
Exactly right. So I want okay. to take the audience further here. My very mm-hmm. next thought was to mm-hmm. take this study and share it with other medical doctors, which I did. And I said, y'all have to look at this. And all of them freaked out immediately when they read the summary. And they were like, oh, my God, they did exactly what Dr. Artis suggested was going to happen from the shots in the Watch the Water documentary. Well, let me tell you what the next question from the medical doctors was. Does this explain, Dr. Artis, why there had to be two different mRNA vaccines for Pfizer and Moderna, because they injected two different DNA plasmids in the study in 2003 to make the mature cobra toxin that killed the animals? Does this finally explain why there had to be two vaccines to be considered fully vaccinated? And so that question, I turned back on them and I said, what evidence would you have or could you find for me in documents for Pfizer and Moderna that would explain that they differentiated the first from the second shot for people giving the shots? This is my next question. Was there a way that they differentiated for people giving the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine? All right, so remember they had drive-throughs in the Home Depot parking lot, Greg, to administer vaccine? Mm-hmm. My thought
that's
was...
That's malpractice
was
as
there,
far as I'm concerned, because anybody could drive through any number of so times. Ridiculous. I don't think they were checking. There was just... There's no medical history. They're just... You know, it was crazy.
Exactly right. It's so ridiculous. So my next question was... Did mm-hmm. Pfizer and Moderna, when they sent out the vaccines to all these people, did they differentiate the vaccines for the administrators who were giving the shots? Was there a way to differentiate between one being different from the other one?
Yeah, number one and number two.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Mm-hmm. Henry Ely immediately looks up Pfizer's documents, and in Pfizer's vaccine documents sent with the vaccines to distributors who were going to be injecting all Americans around the world or people around the world, Pfizer had in their documents that the first shot, you'll know which vial is the first vaccine because it has a blue cap on it.
Oh.
If people are coming for their second one, it's a light purple cap. And all of a sudden, Dr. Henry Eby goes, oh, my God, Dr. Arce calls me, and he goes, oh, my God, if the vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, shot one and shot two were identical, why did they have to differentiate the colors or by color? If they were the
binary
exact
weapon.
Same components, why
yeah,
would you have
weapon.
To differentiate the first from the second?
Mm-hmm.
There is
and that's
no
why
reason
people are,
to differentiate them.
No, but that's why people are getting so much sicker after the second shot. I mean, Eric Clapton, a
oh,
friend of mine.
Oh, Greg.
You know,
Greg,
the second
90%
shot,
of all people that died from the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, 90% of those that died within 48 hours of the second shot.
Yep.
Which would be the second DNA plasmid injected into you. And this is exactly what happened in the study in 2003 to all the animals. So now we have a perfect explanation of why they ever said in the first place you had to wait 2 weeks to be considered fully vaccinated after you got your second injection. And so this is what we showed the whole world.
Why is the 2 weeks important? Well, I mean, now I understand that. I mean, a binary weapon makes perfect sense. It never made sense to me to get two shots because, as we talked about earlier, you know, either the body learns from the immunity response from the first shot or it doesn't learn at all. Mm-hmm. Second shot's not going to make any difference. Now it makes perfect mm-hmm. sense because I remember Alex Jones saying this is a binary weapon, that they're going to introduce something and it's going to take, I don't know if he said two shots or there's two components to it. I don't think he knew at the time. But this is yeah. another reason I didn't want to go anywhere near this thing. Just because there was so much wrong with it. It came out too early. We already had a cure.
Sure.
I post a chart on my show every single day that you cannot find anymore. It'll look up the show chart. And once I do the show notes or any previous show, it has the COVID chart from the CDC that COVID deaths ended July of 2020.
right before they started lying. It's right there.
Yep.
I put on my show every single day. Right? I've been doing it for a year now, but you can't find it anymore. Yeah. So COVID was gone. The vaccine came out. Well, the shot came out 6 months after COVID was gone. It was for the wrong strain. but this makes perfect sense that it's a bioweapon. So why? Let's get to the why.
Yep. So the next question is the why, right? Why would they vomit on the world so many lies, Greg, at once? Mm-hmm. Why all of a sudden would they throw out everything scientifically based and then all of a sudden make dumb arguments like this all of a sudden, Greg? Mm-hmm. And why would so many medical professionals fall for it? I mean, seriously, this is the first time ever you've heard that children who don't have any symptoms are now responsible for the pandemic and the worsening of the pandemic. You have kids that aren't sick are being called asymptomatic spreaders for the first time ever, and a whole bunch of MDs are now like, oh, my God, yes, they're spreading this without any symptoms.
No,
listen, people, the only way we ever spread infections before, every elementary school you've ever been to in your whole life since you were 5 years old in kindergarten, you were told to sneeze inside your elbow, wash your hands so you don't get, like, cough on your hands, get snot on your hands, don't touch a doorknob, make sure you wash your hands often. The only time you are able to spread anything is if you're able to cough,
mm-hmm.
like sneeze, mm-hmm. fever, sweat out the infection. And the only way you're going to spread anything is through your symptoms of cough, fever, chills, sweat, sneezing. These are all symptoms. This is how you're spreading infection. Now, all of a sudden, there's another additional lie thrown at the whole world that now asymptomatic people are spreading an infection. It's so ridiculous. So anyway, massive amounts of lies, massive amounts of frauds. Why in the world did they lie about so many aspects of life, viral knowledge, symptomatic spread? Why did they decide to lie about every aspect of COVID-19? Why? Why did they decide to lie? Every aspect of COVID-19 was lied, all of it, except for in the first month of the pandemic, January of 2020. In that month, there was the most truths. Actually, mainstream media.
I've still got articles
in the first,
you know,
month,
yeah,
of January,
yeah, no, the,
2020.
Yeah, they said.
And then after
no,
that,
I
everything
articles,
was fact checked, and then everything was a lie after that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. Here's what I found: I've got articles from them, you know, tucked away on my computer that said that there is no pandemic. There's nothing to worry about. We've got early treatments. You know, like I say, I've talked about this many times: the DDRO study of hydroxychloroquine, or actually chloroquine at that point. You know, we already knew about that. My mistake when I talked about this March 2nd was I heard about this new thing, remdesivir, which sounded promising. I later learned, of course, that that's death. And this, I started calling it the remdesivir ventilator death march. They're still doing that around here, by the way. But I had a bill, which I'm going to send you. I wrote a bill. I had Bill Gertz on from the Washington Times, February 25th of 2020, told us about the Wuhan lab. 2 days later, I wrote a bill for Congress saying they could only spend half their money on vaccines. The other half had to be spent on early treatments, and that this is probably either a flu bug or a bioweapon. February 27th of 2020. That's how far ahead we were at Action Radio. And I did something that no one else did. I went to my search engine. This is before the March 2nd show when you declared this whole thing a hoax. I put in three words in my search engine. What kills viruses? That's all I said. I said, what kills viruses? I got all the stuff that kills viruses because it made no sense to me. Then we talk about the logic and reason filter. I mean, this is how I analyze everything. It's got to be logical. It has to be reasonable. And so I put it through the logic and reason filter. It's not reasonable to try and create a vaccine that takes 15 years for a virus that's already here. It's too late. It's already here. So you have to kill it. Yeah. You got to kill it. You got to treat it, right? So then I said, well, what kills viruses? Well, I found all kinds of things. Viruses kill viruses. Drugs kill viruses. Drugs and viruses kill viruses. You know, drugs can act like laser targeting from viruses to kill other viruses. There are many ways to kill viruses. So if we have many ways to kill viruses, then there's no pandemic. And a vaccine is the worst thing to do because all you're doing is boosting your immunity. Well, that means people don't have their immunity boosted to begin with. So does this thing defeat immune systems? So these are all the questions I'm asking, you know, in late February 2020. So what, I mean, I'm not trying to blow my own horn here, but what separated me, maybe because I just don't have fear, because I look at these things and go, okay, what are they really trying to do? Because I grew up suspecting everybody. This is one of the blessings of a dysfunctional family is you don't trust anybody. So, you know.
Oh,
so
exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
That's the difference.
So I'm naturally skeptical, right? I'm looking at this going, what are they really trying to do? Why are they only pushing vaccines when we already know we have treatments? That's got to be wrong. Mm-hmm. And I just went from there.
Exactly right. Yep. The reason why you were ahead of the curve and why many like me were ahead of the curve and others is because we genuinely are curious and are willing to ask questions and do not blindly believe everything the mainstream media tells us. And we also don't just blindly follow and believe every authority figure, either politically, health-wise, it doesn't matter. We genuinely are curious and don't have 100% faith and trust in all of the human beings. And however, there's one big difference I have found with those who were actually awake early and did their own research like you did. We are genuinely curious and we actually want to learn for ourselves. Most of the world wants to be told what to do. It's very odd. I don't know why people want to do this. They just genuinely want to be blindly led through life.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's many of us who are just curious and actually love ourselves and the discovery of our minds in the realms of learning. It doesn't matter what the field is. We genuinely love to learn and want to make things make sense to ourselves. And so logic, common sense, rationale, that's what we enjoy. We like living in a space that we can rationalize the world we're experiencing every single day. For those who don't care about that stuff, they just blindly follow whatever's happening and accept those as truths that no one would lie in the media. I'm not joking. This is what they really behave like and believe.
Wow.
And so
yeah.
There's just a difference between the human beings who are curious naturally and have never lost that three-year-old mindset to ask why. Why? Why would they say 6 feet was my first thought. Why would they say 6 feet? That's weird.
Yeah, I was
wondering what
too.
Do we know?
What's magic about 6 feet? I can sneeze further than that.
You know, I was like, what is the magic of 6 feet? In fact, I remember my first Newsmax interview in May of 2020. And the very first question asked to me was this, with another medical doctor on the screen. They wanted to know, Dr. Artis, what do you think about Dr. Anthony Fauci's claim this morning in the news that he's thinking about dropping the 6 foot rule on college campuses and move it down to 3 feet apart on college campuses in America? They said, what do you think about that? And I said, what do I think about that? I said, I haven't even heard that statement. I said, but I'll tell you right now what I think about that statement. This is my very first thought. I would like to know how Anthony Fauci came up with the first 6 foot rule. And I said, and the reason why I'm going to say that is in 2016, I said this on Newsmax. I was reading an article a few days ago. In 2016, from this interview, in 2016, physicists were actually testing particles that they called air fluid. And air fluid, by definition, by physicists, means it has to be smaller than 1 micron. And
an
I
aerosol,
said,
right?
All right now.
So we're talking about aerosol.
And I said, exactly right. I said, okay. Yeah, air fluid means gravity has no effect on a particle this small.
Right.
So it has to be smaller than 1 micron in size. And I looked at the host on Newsmax and I said, you two, can you tell me how big a coronavirus is? And they both looked at each other and said, no, we can't. And I said, it's 0.25 microns. That means it's a quarter of the size of 1 micron of any substance or particle. 1 micron or smaller is considered air fluid. And in 2016, they were testing size particles 1 micron big. That's 4 times bigger than the coronavirus. And these are called air fluid. And they wanted to know how far does it float before gravity brings it back down to Earth. They were testing 1 micron size particles. And they said, Greg, they tested it up to 16 feet. And do you know that every particle went past 16 feet and they stopped testing it?
No, it's 200 feet.
And this is what I said, Newsmax.
You can sneeze 200 feet in aerosol because your sneeze comes out like 200 miles an hour. It's something ridiculous. I don't know if you've read about that today, but I could be wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong because I like accurate information.
Right.
But sneeze goes a long way.
Fact,
you're sneezing.
Said,
you don't block a sneeze, it's gone. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. Huh. Those particles are so small, they just travel forever. So what they published in 2016, I said 16 feet. I'm sorry. The physicists actually checked it to 26 feet. And they said once it went to 27 feet, they stopped checking it because that was the distance they were evaluating for. So they knew in 2016 that anything 1 micron or smaller, which is the COVID-19 particle size, they said would travel beyond 27 feet. And this is what I looked at Newsmax, and I went like this. If physicists figured out that things as big as COVID can travel in the air between individuals farther than 27 feet, I want you to tell me what I think about Anthony Fauci's 6 foot guess and his now 3 foot guess. And both the Newsmax hosts looked at each other, Greg, in May of 2020 and went just like this. I guess we should start telling people to stand apart 27 feet. And I said, exactly right. Everybody should be standing 27 feet apart.
It.
That's exactly what I said.
Everybody needs to stand 27 feet apart. It's so weird. How do they not get it, Greg?
You know, because their mind. Well, I'm going to tell you about a NASA study in a bit. I want to get a Judy question. Question for a second, because I got to make sure I get these in. Do you have time past the top of the hour? Because I've got another. I got a little bit more time. I don't know if you have another interview coming up. I just want to make sure.
I've actually got an interview right at 11 my time, Central Time.
I'm sorry. Top of the hour. Let's do this quickly then, because I want to tell you about. I'll tell you off the air. Maybe we'll get you next time. I'll send you the information. There was a NASA study that tested kids at 5 years old for creativity, imagination, problem solving, and they found that 98% of kids were at the genius level at 5 years old.
Wow.
Now, once they went through school and became adults at 18, guess how many were still at the genius level for creativity, imagination, and problem solving?
Man, I have no idea, but I'd like to know.
2%.
5%.
2.
You said 2? Holy crap, yeah.
So reversed.
Very close.
So 98% of the kids were geniuses. 98% of the kids were idiots by the time they got through school. That's why.
Oh, do you have that study, Greg? I want to do a whole show.
Oh, I got like 5 different articles on. I'm going to do it next week. I'll send it to you, but I want to make sure we get Judy's question and Diane's question beforehand. I'll send it to you because it relates to exactly our question. Why? Why are these people so accepting of this? Why are they so easily done by fear? And the reason is because they've lost their problem solving and creativity. I'm convinced of it.
Exactly.
Let me tell you this. So Judy's question is, this is gonna be fun. We're just getting started. This is, as Matt Gaetz calls us, the ideas factory. So Judy asks, would you ask him, I guess that's you, mechanism of snakes shedding skin? She says, it's almost as if my hands and face were burned from the inside out. So good not to be seen on Rumble. He says, she talks about Dupixent, Dupixent, phospholipids and keratinocytes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's going on? What about snakes and snake skin? And you know anything about that?
So I used to actually say, man, this shedding reference to the vaccine, I think it's just another skin reference. Oh, sorry, another snake reference, because snakes shed their skin every year. I was like, I think this is just a snake reference and they're just toying with all of us. But that's not what they were doing. And then the question about keratinocytes, is that what you asked?
Yep.
All right. This is a very important key. Keratin in the body is copper requiring.
Oh.
When you become copper deficient, you will develop keratinocytes. You'll develop vitiligo. You'll develop all kinds of issues. You'll develop chronic fatigue when you're copper deficient. You will develop strokes. You'll develop clots. You'll develop myocarditis when copper is deficient. Now, this is important. Did you know that all snake venom components chelate or remove
copper
from the cells of all mammals?
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
So this would be the correlation to sloughing of skin. And just so you know, every venom component from cone snail venoms in the oceans, marine sponges in the ocean, spiders, scorpions, snakes, all venoms have a published side effect to cause peeling, burning, sloughing, blistering of all skin tissue. So we saw it's because it's depleting and destroying copper. Exactly right.
Interesting.
They're called,
are
called metalloproteinases. Metal proteinases.
I got a question for later on why cobra and crate, because as I know snakes, I think rattlesnakes are muscular toxins, whereas cobras are neurotoxins.
Yes.
Something I want to get into.
And cobras are neurotoxins.
So that's when we have more time, I want to explain that. But Diane asks, and she's talking about this thing I mentioned earlier, they're still using remdesivir and ventilators. We call it the remdesivir ventilator death march here at Action Radio. Why are they still doing that?
Why are they still doing it? Because the FDA approved that drug for being used for all COVID-19 patients in October of 2020. And, it's even more disgusting.
Yeah, but it kills people.
I can't believe you're... I know it still kills people, and they're still doing it, but the FDA decided to approve it after it was killing people, which is odd. How do they keep doing that?
That's even stranger.
But
yeah.
It's even stranger. However, did you know what's even crazier? Did you know that in May of 2023, Greg, that Joe Biden dismissed the national emergency of COVID?
Yeah. I remember that.
All right, so in May, he dismisses that this is no longer a national emergency, COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Greg, what was the hospital protocol's drug, remdesivir, right? That drug. What was the drug of choice of the protocol during the emergency for COVID? It was remdesivir and ventilating people, right? And sedating them. All right. So
That was the protocol during the national emergency. Now the emergency is lifted in May of 2020. Do you know that hospitals were being incentivized the whole time during COVID? They were incentivized with a 20% add-on bonus if they just used remdesivir in any American 60 years old and older. Government insurance, CMS.gov, was paying a 20% bribe bonus to all doctors and hospitals giving remdesivir to every 60-year-old old American, no matter who they were, on the entire hospital bill. Do you know that when the national emergency was dismissed by Biden, do you know that at the same time he did that, he said in writing, we will allow the bonus structure for remdesivir and hospitalized COVID-19 patients to continue. We'll let the bribery continue after the emergency until September 23rd of 2023.
I believe it. Have another interview, unfortunately. It's now the top of the hour. But we want to talk about that. There's so much to talk about. Something I was going to mention, too, that hospitals, at some point, it became more profitable to kill people than save people. We need to talk about that, too.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to know, why did UC Berkeley's oncologist who did a research study, a 20-year study, why? In 2000, the year 2000, did he say, I'm no longer doing this research study that was designed to be for 20 years? He canceled it after 10 years. Study was, I want to know what kills people with cancer, the medical doctor wanted to know. Is it cancer that kills people, or is it the chemotherapy that's a part of the treatment for cancer killing people? In 2000, he published and left his study. He canceled it. He said 100% of the 100,000 people who he had been tracking for 10 years who died, 100% of them died from chemotherapy toxicity. None of them died from cancer. That's why he canceled the study. My question for you, Greg, would be, why do we keep injecting cancer people with a drug that kills them called chemo? That should also be another question that fits in line with why are we still doing remdesivir that kills people? Why are we still promoting chemotherapy that kills people? And why are we vaccinating babies within 24 hours in America for a viral infection you don't get unless you're having sex with multiple partners and having drug needle sharing called hepatitis B? Why are we injecting 100% of all babies in America with a vaccine for a virus? None of these babies are having sex with multiple partners, and none of them are actually sharing drug needles that medical doctors are the only ones injecting them with. So these are some of the concepts in medicine that all of us should be saying no to forevermore because they don't make any damn sense whatsoever.
Agreed. Where can people reach you? Let's do that real quick, and then I don't want to keep you from your next
interview
too much.
You can follow me at the Dr. Artist Show, and next time you can see me in my T-shirt on Action News Radio with Greg Pangos.
Yeah, because we'll be live. We'll be visual with Rumble. Thank you, Brian.
We'll
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. God bless you all. See you. Happy Thanksgiving.
God bless you, dude. Take care. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, I'd keep him on for an hour if I could. Another hour. I mean, there's just so much to talk about that this is fabulous. So hopefully I got my questions in. But those are some of the things, too. You know, these are the questions we need to ask. You know, when did it become more profitable to kill people? Cancer. You know, why if people are dying from chemotherapy, then is anybody really being cured with cancer? And I was going to mention, I didn't have time, but David Trombley, who's a soldier here, who he wrote a book, Grounded and Cured. So he was grounded because he had bone cancer. Well, did he get chemo? No. Diet, exercise, nutrition, and took care of himself. Cancer went away. I had melanoma skin cancer. And now, unfortunately, it was caught early. It was taken off. But did I go through any kind of other procedures or drugs? No. You know, I did my normal exercise, nutrition, and cut my stress down, and I was fine. I'm still wondering now if I needed heart surgery. One day I'll find out about that. But since it's done, I'm not going to dwell on it too much because I can't change it. But obviously I had the surgery, so now the question is, was it necessary? Well, hopefully. You know, I like to think I'm doing better now, even though I still have some side effects of the surgery. But I also know that athletically, you know, my recovery time from exercise is like half or less, you know, from anything. You know, I do 18-mile bike rides, and I come back, and I'm not tired. I'm 64 years old. You know, and I'm extending my bike rides. I'm actually going further. I'm spending more time in the gym, you know, so overall, and a lot of that has to do with weight loss too. So weight loss is the number one thing you can do for yourself, but this has been fascinating. And so, like I say, we're going to rumble, hopefully maybe on video, we'll get Brian on more often, which would be nice, but I could talk to him for hours. And we did, for 18 weeks, we had Brian and Judy and all these amazing doctors, 3 hours at a time. And we had them for, you know, for the full 3 hour show. And I started late. I used to start like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's when Judy Mikovits on the Pacific time could actually call in, because that would have been 1 o'clock would be like 11 o'clock her time. But we did it, and everybody was there, you know, most weeks. And it was just amazing. Now, I forgot to mention with him also Citizen Legislation Day. I'll have to talk to him about that too, but got to get him out here for that. Because that's going to be fun. So anyway, that's it. That's the show today. And I'll be taking off. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving, so I'm taking that off. Friday, yeah, I'm taking that off too. So we're back Monday. And a lot of what I'm going to do this weekend is work on getting us ready for Rumble. You know, Action Radio was moving to Rumble, and we'll be there. The Action Radio channel is real easy to find. Same name I use every time, Action Radio Citizen Legislature. So that's where you'll find us. So feel free to go to that. And we're going to see anybody else on Yep, that's it for live chat. Nothing on there as well. I think I played everything I have to play. Is there anything else I need to play? Yeah, probably not. I don't have a Christmas greeting and all that stuff. All right, let me see. What's the music? I know the music for today. So let me just play our closing classic theme, which we do on Wednesdays, a little Beethoven's Fifth. And so let me just scroll down for that. And I will see you all Monday. So I'm going to take a 4-day break. So enjoy yourselves. Listen to all the podcasts. There's plenty of information. Listen to this podcast. That'll take you a couple times through just to cover all the ground we covered on this one. Monday. And it'll be Monday, December. I don't know. What is it? No, Monday. What is the date? Monday. November 27th. Full moon. Ooh, interesting. I'll see you then.